feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody could read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can?
No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fine episode of The Session.
You sound weird, Justin.
I do sound weird. Well, you know, I've been in Hawaii for like 4 years.
You sound more handsome.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I've just been getting a tan, and as your skin darkens, you sound more Greek, which is a science fact that I picked up along the way.
They have science in Hawaii.
They do have science in Hawaii. It's what we traded them for shells.
Oh, that's
when
nice.
When we purchased Hawaii, we said, here, you know, they gave us shells and we gave them science.
Oh.
Did we purchase Hawaii?
Sure. Yeah. Didn't we?
No one else wanted it, I think, is more what happened.
Picked it up off the scrap.
I think that's incorrect.
I think we did. Tasty, you were around. You probably brokered that deal.
Territory, so that, yeah, somehow they had.
We purchased it from the king and whatever. I don't know.
Maybe they traded for Domino's Pizza or something.
I'm pretty sure it was one of those, like, we took the land from the Indians kind of deals.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
No, most of the land was sold to us. What do you take, even for the Indians?
Well, the Indians took it from other Indians, so
it's a whole thing.
Circle of life.
You guys are terrible people.
Why? It's not Doc. You were around with the annexation of Hawaii. Didn't we purchase that?
We bought it, right?
We stole it mostly.
Oh, please.
Whatever.
Stole your face.
Overthrew their monarch.
Didn't we put the queen in, like, prison until she relinquished her land or something? Yeah, we suck.
Well, you know a lot about the annexation of the Hawaiian
Someone's
territory.
Been playing a lot of trivia crack.
Yet I still lose.
But really, ultimately, we all win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. USA.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. In case you can't tell, this is JP. Justin is on vacation
again.
So I just want to say thanks for your donations. If you'd like to donate to the Brewing Network, there's a donate link on the homepage. And Justin needs a break.
Do we get paid vacation?
Oh yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's the same salary you get now.
Right.
Yes.
And then there's unlimited vacation days.
Same rate.
Unlimited, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, hourly is always
this is
the
a
same.
Great gig.
It's what you get paid minus the free beer when you're here.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And we can take off as much time as we want.
Right. Yeah, it says Doc just came off like a 5-year hiatus.
Yeah.
He's back now, though.
A sabbatical.
This is what happened when we were at the Bay Area Craft Beer Fest a couple days ago, and I was working it with Beverly there.
Yeah.
And at one point, she turned to me and went, "We're making Justin money while he's on a beach somewhere? What is this?" And I went, "I don't know what this is."
She doesn't realize the entrepreneur thing.
It's capitalism is what it is.
Don't worry about it. Sell another hoodie.
We're victims of the 4-hour work week. Yeah.
We don't negotiate price.
And why would we?
Yes.
No, but, Justin works hard. Everyone knows that. And we like to give him a little shit, man, because he's not here. And he can't do anything about it. Nor will he listen back to hear what we've had to say about him.
That's right. True.
No. So, we can say whatever we want.
I'm sure he's not listening now.
But he'll still say, good job, everyone.
Yeah. You all did great.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks a lot for tuning in, and hopefully we'll do great. We have the guys from Carton Brewing from New Jersey on the line here shortly. We have some cool stuff to get through. They do a lot of cool experimental home brewing and stuff. They have a more beer tippy dump, and but you're not in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There is that.
Well, I'm just saying I can relate to these guys.
Yeah, you've done a tomato cucumber salt beer before?
No, but I do experimental stuff.
No.
You're talking about stream brewing.
Like sometimes like a pale ale, and then other times it's like kind of a little bit of a bigger pale and then it's a session pale
sometimes
ale.
I use different hops. You're right. My pale ale.
Yes, what I do.
Yeah. Most people call that brewing. It's weird.
It's in a really narrow range.
Did you bring any in? I feel like you haven't brought any homebrew in.
You know what I was going to bring in?
Half a century.
Dennis Brown.
And I wish I had with some of that Rosh beer that we had to make.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. That has turned into gold.
You still have some left?
Yes.
Once all the smoke phenol settled out?
You guys
aren't
going to believe it.
What happened to it?
And all the smokiness just turned into this really, really nice little body, small, spicy character. It's really good.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
How much do you have left?
Probably a gallon.
Wow.
I'll bring in a couple of bombers and we'll check it out.
Next week.
Yeah, please do, man. Yeah. I'd like to see that. I drank all mine.
I went to you tonight because I know we didn't have any studio guests.
Yeah.
And it's harder to drink beer when they got beers floating around here a lot, too. So
that's true. Our guests really do, you know, deliver the goods, man.
Yeah, we have a great
they bring in. Yeah, they bring a lot. But we do have beers from Carton Brewing Company today, so that would be nice.
It offsets our salary.
And Tasty, I do want to just let you know, just offer to you that I do have fridge space at home if you want to just give the beer to me, and then I'll bring it in next week.
I know you got fridge space because all our freaking beer's there.
Yeah. Well, no, not anymore. It's gone.
It should be surprising that he still has fridge space with all of the beer that he has.
When you have your poker parties, do you charge like per head for beer or something like that?
No, but I take it away from the table anyway.
Oh, yeah, he takes everyone's money. So
I see. It is
not everybody's money.
It is just like a sheep herding thing. Like.
Right.
Not docked. Not Mr. 7-5 of Spades over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
If you guys haven't seen it, we have a new Rogue video. You know, our part two of our Rogue trip was released on Facebook. It dropped, is what the kids say, right?
Whoa,
It dropped, yeah. So check that out. Push Eject did a great job editing that thing. And we toured Rogue Farms up there in Independence, Oregon. It was a blast, man. It's a real working farm, and they grow a lot of the ingredients that John uses for that for a series of beers that they do up there. And there's pigs, and they're right by the Willamette River. We never clarified if it's Willamette or Willamette.
It's Willamette.
You're at the river. You should ask the river. Like, what do you call yourself?
That's what we should. Yeah, I should have done.
I guess it depends on which side of the river you're on.
I think it is. It was really cool, man. The beer's tasting so good. So if you get a chance, check it up. If you happen to make a trek up to Portland or whatever, swing by Independence and pop in on that farm. It's amazing.
Now, didn't a collab sort of beer get made up there? That's the purpose of the trip, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Ben and Patty, who are BN Army listeners
Got to meet them.
Members of our homebrew club, they brewed a beer. So that will be episode 3, I believe, of that of the Rogue series.
And then where's that beer going to be poured?
At NHC.
NHC, nice.
Yeah. But I think we're going to try to have some here at the Hop Grenade the Monday before we all go down to NHC. So that week of Monday, of NHC, we're going to try to do a show here and have Ben and Patty on and talk about it.
Excellent. Yeah.
Drink the beer.
Wow, that'll be great.
And John and Stacey Meyer might be coming through, too, if schedules work out.
Yeah.
That guy's built for the radio. I mean, did you watch him in the latest video? That guy, he opens his mouth, it's spun gold.
Yeah, riveting. Uh-huh. Yeah. Riveting guy.
Awesome, I got to watch that.
Yeah, you should. You can really relate to him. You guys.
Yeah.
And how do I find
two peas in a pod.
How do I find a video easily?
You go to Facebook. I'm sure it's LinkedIn on Twitter. I'm sure it's also on our YouTube channel.
How about from the BN webpage? You can get there. Right?
I think you pick the one place you can.
That's a funny joke.
Oh, that's
man.
Right. We have no.
We are redoing the webpage.
I know, but when it's done,
that's rad.
And then we'll be able to add shit like that easy.
That's right. You just go to our homepage. But you can find it on Facebook, which is the easiest way to find it.
And the Brewing Network,
And the Brewing Network YouTube page.
If you haven't seen the other ones, you can see those there as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Beardy's a star of one of those, I think. Yeah.
That's true.
Beardy's prominently...
That was just a teaser. Yeah.
You're such a tease,
he's the up-and-coming.
You are. You're an up-and-comer.
Something.
Right, which should lead me to an Adam and Eve read, but I don't have it yet. Friends with us. We need it. We need more friends online. You know, we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Are we on Instagram? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We are?
We are.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's doing well.
Yeah.
YouTube, all that kind of stuff. So check us out. If you want to support us, like I mentioned before, you can go to the homepage and click on the donate link. You can also do your Amazon shopping online. Use our link, and we kind of sneak in there. Amazon gives us a little cut for directing you to them, and we're all happy. You get your stuff, we get four quarters, and you know, everyone's solid, man.
And you share it all the way around here.
That's right. That's right. We cut it in half. It's weird. I have a bunch of quarters. It's bizarre. Let's see. Our Twitter game. Let's do our Twitter game. Doc, we're going to do feedback later on in
the
segment.
No Amazon product of the week?
Amazon, we're going to do all that later, too, because we have a full first segment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why don't we always do feedback later on instead of disappointing me every show?
Well, I feel like you're not used to disappointment, and so we just want to train you. We just want to train you. You know, that's how it goes, man. Yeah. Come on, Doc.
It's real life.
Yeah,
but the problem is when you put it at the end of the show, and then Justin gets tired and stuff, and then you
he's
know.
Not here.
He's not here.
That's the thing about
but
it.
But it's a trend.
Oh,
well, actually, okay. Justin's not going to do it tonight, Doc. We're just going to get that out of the way, too.
Okay.
Well, so Doc's not wrong.
Right.
It's a trend that continues.
Yeah. Disappointment.
Whatever. our Twitter game is brought to you today by Adventures in Homebrewing. If you need some good homebrewing ingredients and equipment, check them out. Adventures in Homebrewing. So it's, you know, a trend with Jay in Hawaii. Nobody knows what happens in Hawaii. It's a dark and mysterious place. No, nobody does.
Habibo, what happened there?
Oh, that's true.
Pregnant.
See? Fertile women get pregnant in Hawaii. So I would like to know what exotic disease Justin's coming back with from the strange, dark lands and jungles of Hawaii.
And it doesn't even have to be an STD.
Fatherhood.
It doesn't have to be at all. Could be. The disease could be marriage. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any rumors,
could
but
be
that's
baby.
The... God, I was talking to Taryn, which is my first mistake.
Oh,
but she's like,
no.
I keep expecting to see on Facebook an engagement announcement from Kate and Justin at Hawaii. I'm like, there's no way.
No. In fact, I've heard, I won't name my source, but I've heard that they might do a kid before the engagement. I'm just throwing that out there. That is what I don't.
Oh, that's speculation.
It is speculation.
Well, I hope they name it Snow. I just,
Snow.
You know. John Snow.
Like the rapper?
No, like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
I just said Snow.
Cool. Scott, you mentioned that you and Bev were at the Martinez Beer Fest.
Yeah, that was cool. That was the Bay Area Craft Beer Fest put on by Beer Pal and his lovely wife, Leanne.
Yeah.
And it was a good time. Huge crowd, really warm. But I know that Bevo had a little anecdote she wanted to share.
Okay.
she sounds like she wants to share it.
Well, generally, like, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just used to going to fests where we have a big presence and people know about us. Because this douchey little hipster-ass punk came up to us and was like, I'm a homebrewer. Explain to me why I need you in my life. And so, being the nice person that I am, I...
You
went
came
over the different.
The table.
I should have. I went over the different.
Did you snap his suspenders?
No, she was
no,
so
I pulled
pleasant.
His mustache out. I was actually very, 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 very nice.
She was like, "Well, sir, let me tell you."
I went through all of our different shows. I talked to him about sours. I talked to him about the Sour Hour. Asked him if he knew who Jay Goodwin was. I did the whole thing. Like I did my job.
Wow.
And this little turd was like. At the end, I went to hand him a postcard with our information on it so that he could look us up, and he was like, you haven't convinced me. And I was like, bitch, get out of here.
Wow.
I do not have time for you right now.
Did
it
you say that
hot.
To him? Tell me you said that to him.
No, I stood there, and my face went from, like, happy Beverly to, like, I'm going to stab you in the throat, Beverly. And I just tapped the postcard against my hand while he kept talking. Like, it was so apparent that I wanted him to, like...
What else did he have to say?
Either I was going to kill him, and he... Yeah. Like, he was... He got all like, oh, I'll take your postcard. And I was like, don't do me any favors.
Yeah. Now you don't get one.
You should have just started tearing it up in his face.
Threw it at him.
Smaller pieces and just threw it at him.
You know what? I don't get super angry usually about things like that, but I wanted to
throw a warhead at his head.
I wanted to body slam him. I wanted to go Hulk Hogan on his face.
The rest of the day, Beav was not, she was not herself.
That might have convinced him that he needed
I wanted
you in
to,
his life.
Like, the people's elbow, it almost happened.
never go full Bevo. That's a rule, I think, at every festival.
That guy,
angry.
He was not representative of the crowd.
Most
of the people were great.
We don't want him as a listener.
I'm sure
anyway.
He doesn't have a lot of friends.
That's great.
He almost got a knife in the throat, it sounds like.
Yeah.
He almost said no friends.
I'm dealing with Asperger's.
Yeah, Game of Thrones? Oh, my God.
We were pouring a Faction Pale Ale at the booth.
Best beer there.
Yeah, that's where I got that from a lot of people, Tasty included.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Back for seconds, thirds, and sevenths. Yeah.
That's good.
It had one handle, and it was the best place there.
You guys were our booth was the only booth that it pouring
at? Faction didn't have a presence other than they just gave us some kegs to pour.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. I was really happy. I found it up at CBC on the exhibit hall floor. Ran into Roger, and he's like, I think our beer's pouring.
And, I think our beer's
right. Yeah, yeah, pale ale's up here. Yeah, you just gotta go find it. So I found it, and then that became my center point that I circled.
That was your home base,
right? Exactly. Yeah. I always did a loop, and then came back, got a faction, then went and talked to somebody, came back, got a faction.
Would you say that was the best beer at the CBC?
The only reason I pick another beer is because Heater Allen Pilsner was up there, and it was really good. True. Yeah. So, his was the best pale ale for sure, hands down.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, that's pretty good. Well, because everyone else is doing IPAs and sours.
It's not a bad category.
Are we allowed to talk about what happened after the fest, Scott? That also involved a faction beer?
Yes, please. This was an amazing moment.
I may or may not have also done my first keg
full
stand
blown
at this.
What? Oh, yes.
I heard somebody did. Yeah.
You know who else did a keg stand?
What?
Marty Moskowitz.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I grew up with him drinking one glass of wine with dinner, like 3 out of 7 nights a week. One. Or he would have like a martini when company came over. One. And now he's doing a keg stand? This is a changed man.
What have you done to him?
I have corrupted him thoroughly.
He
clearly.
Might sue you. Wow. You better get some insurance.
Defamation of character.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. How did Beverly get talked into doing a keg stand?
It actually was remarkably easy.
Was it? I feel like I put up a...
How did this happen?
It a keg of 5 Loco? Is that what it was?
I wish. Well... I feel like Kevin was a huge pusher. He was like, we need to video this, and we need to send it to Justin. And,
here he is.
And he needs to...
You have a video? Kevin, come in here.
Kevin's at the window.
Kevin has a video of this. Sergio, Sergio from Melovino Meter is on hold, but I feel like this is engaging content enough to keep you on hold.
We need to watch a good video on the radio.
Kevin, you got my dad on video too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Kevin was the record keeper. He's showing it to JP right now.
Can they get that on the
play that into the mic?
Can you hold that on the website?
Hold it on the video.
I'd like to see it first.
Hold your mic up.
So I'm going upskirt, yeah?
So I'm going upskirt, yeah, you do. I had 3 rules. One was don't make fun of the fact that my legs weren't shaved, hold my skirt in place, and when you lifted me up, be prepared and don't look like you're struggling on video.
Is that camera on me right now?
It's on you right now. Yeah, so that happened.
That's good.
That's
stuff.
Incredible.
That was you. Wow. Yeah, I believe
and
it.
And you have a lot of rules.
And Kevin made that happen too.
Yeah.
Nice work,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, it was definitely amazing. Kevin definitely facilitated that.
And it wasn't necessarily a cake; it was a jockey box stand because you guys were part of a jockey box, which is kind of harder.
It
I
was
feel.
Real challenging.
Yeah,
it was tough.
Nice work, Bev.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
make me proud, girl.
Thank you.
There you go. That's the Bay Area Craft Beer Fest.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like you guys had a blast.
We sure did.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Half of it.
All right, Sergio from Melovino Meadery. Are you on the phone, buddy?
Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me?
Perfect.
Dude, this is like the all-new Jersey show right now.
It really is.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I saw you guys got Carton Brewing on later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. We're representing today.
You been over there before, Sergio?
Yes, I have.
How is it?
No, they make great beer, man. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to hearing them on the show later.
Yeah, pick up some tips.
I'm not that great at beer making, so I'll be listening.
Where is Vauxhall in relation to Atlantic Islands?
It's less than an hour away, but they're more like South Jersey.
Nice.
Okay. Ooh. Awesome. So we're going to pick up some tips for you from you today about making a better mead at home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Moscow and I have been talking about doing this little segment once a month on the Brewing Network about making mead right.
Mead basically. Made right.
Yeah, it's a necessary topic too, man, because there's a lot of meads that just aren't. I mean, it's a lot more than just adding yeast to honey and water, man, and calling it good.
Gotta talk about it.
Well, I wonder, too, if there's, like, a lot less experimentation in general with mead. Like, is that fair to say? Like, is there just less, going outside of the established norms?
I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, I think, depending, if you're really into home brewing, I think you get open into different fermented creations as well, and you're bound to dabble in other things other than beer, in my opinion, eventually, whether it be cider, mead, or anything else. But, yeah, one one main topic, one main key idea that I always had was, you know, a lot of home brewers, you know, they might not have ever given mead making a shot
sure.
for different types of reasons. Either they had some horrible homebrew or they've had some horrible commercial examples of mead, and they just decided, you know what, it's not even worth their shot. Or they are thinking, like you guys have it tagged on your form, you know, it's for the fairy boys. You know?
We do? We should probably change that.
Your fairy boys.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you're going to go that route, too, you could always say, listen, fairy boys are always surrounded by women.
Yeah, no kidding.
The fairy boys and guys from New Jersey.
Yeah. What was funny 8 years ago probably isn't still as funny.
Well, yeah, you guys should update that.
I think we will.
You made a great point, Sergio. I can't remember where. I think I read it on your website. You were saying that, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, mead is too sweet. I'm not going to, like, you know, pair it with my dinner. But meanwhile, they'll pair a Pepsi with their dinner, which is, a lot sweeter.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned this in all of our tours and tastings, because a lot of people that come through our doors never had mead before, and they're experiencing mead for the first time coming into our meadery. And I have been put on the spot during the early few weeks from when we actually opened for business, and a customer actually asked in front of everybody during the tasting, which he said, you know, don't you think this mead stuff is a little too sweet to be pairing with food? And my immediate response to him was, well, if you're going to compare it directly to grape wine, I can see where you're coming from. But you ever had a pizza with a can of soda? You know, now those two go great together. And most of our meads, and I would say at least half or 60% of the meads on the market, are actually a third of the sugar of any can of soda out there on the market.
Oh.
And it could be even less. I mean, you have your dry meads as well. So it's just a big misconception, being that mead is made from honey, obviously.
I've never heard of anybody say, I'm going to pair this, you know, steak with a 7-Up.
Well, they might not say it, but they do it all the time, right?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, I think we need to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, there should be a market for that.
Junk food.
Or just have a dinner that we...
Junk food pairings?
Yeah. Yes.
Twinkies.
What goes before Loco?
Hangovers.
Anything.
Everything.
So what's the mead made right tip for today?
All right, so I'm basically going to drop the biggest one on the first segment of it, which is definitely the most important, I think, and the key to really making great mead. So if you follow this advice, you could basically make a great mead anytime you want. So what it really all comes down to is nutrient additions, right? That's one of the single most important parts about making mead. Nutrient additions, there's some cookie cutter, I like to call it cookie cutter nutrient addition regimes that everybody basically follows. And it's not always 100% exactly the way you want to go. That's what I found out through a lot of experimentation and looking into, you know, why do we need this? Why does it work? How does it work? And how good is it working? And questioning all along every step of the way. So with nutrient additions, a lot of people use DAP, diammonium phosphate, and Fermade K, or a combination of the two. So basically what I like to use and what I always recommend any new people that are getting into mead making for the first time is using all Fermade O. It's a different type of yeast nutrient that's available through most homebrew supply shops. So there's a big, big difference between Fermade O and Fermade K, even though they come from the same manufacturer, and even more of a difference when you're talking compared to DAP. So what you want to do is when you're using Fermade O, it is the organic, it provides an organic form of nitrogen versus an inorganic form of nitrogen. We covered this the last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
But the key to having an organic form of nitrogen added to your mead is that nitrogen, the organic nitrogen, can actually be metabolized through the later parts of fermentation by the yeast compared to inorganic forms of nitrogen. That's why a lot of people, even if they follow the very well-known cookie-cutter nutrient regime for mead making, they still will actually run into stalled fermentations or a lot of sulfur odors, a lot of off flavors. And one of the reasons, one of the reasons of which are basically because that inorganic form of nitrogen, the yeast also has to it ends up lacking that nitrogen towards the end part of fermentation and starts stressing out and creating those all flavors.
Okay, so it's more of a complete nitrogen deposit.
Pretty much. It's kind of like the equivalent, you know, speaking to Scott Labs about this in depth, it's kind of like they brought up the example of, it's kind of like the equivalent of having a Snickers bar and getting a sugar rush. Mm-hmm. And we'll compare that to inorganic form of nitrogen for the yeast and having, you know, some fruit, an orange and or some apples and getting some like natural sugar in your body. You're going to have a much more prolonged effect from that sugar.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the same idea with that example.
Fermented. Oh, never heard of it. That's a good tip, man.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, there's a whole bunch of science behind how much you actually have to add. You're not just going to exchange Fermate O for Fermate K and DAP like one-to-one.
Right.
But I do have a bunch of information on a website that I just kind of like got started up just to provide homebrewers with some more mead-making tips, which is meadmaderight.com. And I have like all like the vital data, statistics, and information on there. And anybody could always obviously feel free to give me a call or send me an email as well if they have any additional questions.
Okay. But,
well, you say you've never heard of it, JP.
I've never heard of it.
Is it hard to find, Sergio?
No, not at all. Anywhere, any homebrew supply shop carries, you know, Fermate K and DAP. They're going to carry Fermate O as well.
Yeah, Fermate K, I'm very familiar with for my years at Morbier, but I haven't been shopping for anything else. So I'm, you know, kind of out of the loop on the new thing. So this is great. This is a good tip.
Yeah, and it makes a huge, huge difference. I'm literally with the nutrient regime that I actually put together. It's different than what, like I said, that cookie cutter nutrient regime that everybody else follows, because it is tailored to every specific batch of mead based on the batch size and starting gravity. So it's never going to be exactly the same unless you're making the same kind of base recipe every single time. So it makes a huge, huge difference. Fermentation temperatures stay lower by using an organic form of nitrogen. And like I said before, the organic form of nitrogen could actually be metabolized by the yeast during later parts of fermentation. So it's going to reduce your risk of stuck fermentations and other off flavors, off aromas. With this process, I could literally ferment 14% alcohol in 2 weeks flat.
Wow.
Damn.
And it's clean.
That's great.
You know?
That's a great use of equipment.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sergio, this residual nitrogen, would that work with beer as well? You think that sort of yeast nutrient?
I don't know. All my beer was always crap anyway.
So you gravitated to mead, I guess.
Can you think of a reason it wouldn't work, Tasty?
I can't think of anything, no.
Yeast
aren't that different.
It's not necessary.
What yeast are you using to make your...
Yeah, because you get nitrogen, your FAN levels and your malt are...
right.
Because you don't have a source of nitrogen in honey, but you do in beer, which is from your malt.
Oh, right. Unless you have quality malt. Real poor quality malt, you won't have a nitrogen issue. It's just nutrient additions are key in fruit-based fermentations, like even cider, wine, mead... None of that nitrogen is in there.
That's why nitrogen additions are so important.
Not to interrupt, but did Sergio just toke up?
did you guys hear that just now?
Did you hear that? It sounded like a lighter flick and then just a deep inhale.
Well, yeah. Now's the time, if there's any time.
He vaporizes his free amino nitrogen.
Yes.
What's today's date again?
Enough said.
420, right. Bro.
Hey, Sergio, you just won a bunch of awards for your meat, didn't you?
Yeah. Actually, a few weeks ago, we just 7 months into business, we actually brought home 2 golds and a silver medal at the biggest mead competition in the world.
Nice.
Good work, man.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're still riding the coattails of excitement from that one.
As you should be, man. As you should be.
Hey, give your plugs. Are you doing an online order still?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have an online store at mellowvino.com. Right now, we're shipping to 4 different states, New Jersey being one of them, obviously. And we're going to be expanding to a few other states, California included, within the next few weeks, probably.
Yeah, oh, baby. Cool.
So yeah. How are your issues with the local laws? Remember last time you were talking about, oh, can't get here, can't get there kind of stuff?
Yeah, anyone giving you shit?
No, no. I mean, ever since I overcame those initial hurdles in opening the metering, it was mainly with the state of New Jersey, with their licenses.
Yeah.
Not catering to mead, basically. Their winery license basically only allowed for wines to be made from grapes or other fruits. So honey not being either or, obviously that's what created the issue. But no, everything's been on the straight and narrow. They issued me basically a special permit in order to manufacture mead in the state of New Jersey. And that's been obviously what I've been running the business off of. But now there is actually a bill that's going through legislation here in New Jersey to actually create a meadery / cidery license. And I was actually just called down to Trenton last week to actually speak to four of the top lawmakers in the state that are actually involved in that legislation. They were looking for some feedback from obviously the only meadery in New Jersey right now.
Look at you, man, making laws happen.
Yeah, man. So they were actually shocked at what I got the ABC to let me do in the time frame that I got them to do it in.
Yeah, they're not known as an organization that's wildly flexible.
Yeah, no, not at all. But
apparently in New Jersey, no one gives a shit.
I guess not.
Yeah. They're like, it's Jersey. But, who cares?
I mean, everybody that I've mentioned our story to is 100% shocked, even especially the government workers. But at the end of the day, they did good by us. So good.
Nice job, man.
Yeah.
All right, Sergio, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you taking the time and appreciate the tip on the Fermat O.
Yeah, no problem. And also, before I go, congratulations, JP. I just heard last week that you got engaged.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
He'll be sure to pass that along to Taryn.
Yeah, she's the lucky one, really. Let's be clear.
Yeah, so congratulations. And Doc is there, too?
Yeah,
Doc is here, too.
Yeah, congratulations to you, too.
Thank you, sir.
Circle of life. Hakuna Matata.
Oh, you've been listening.
I always listen, man. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Sergio. Well, thanks, bud.
We'll see you for the next
you guys
one.
Later.
All right, man. Bye. All right. What a nice guy.
I don't know. It might be all downhill from there, though. It's like when you start off like, all right, I'm going to give my best tip here on the first one.
Yeah,
so feel free to tune out from here on out.
The next one is on bottle selection.
Yeah.
I think great stuff coming up.
I think it's the most important because that is like, if you're going to do one thing, that single step.
Take care of your yeast.
Right.
Right. Right.
If it doesn't make it, in the end, you're like, man, I'm not doing this again.
Right, exactly. And nutrient additions are the key.
And I think he's trying to fulfill like the Jay Goodwin for sour beer role, where he wants people's first experience with mead to be a really good one so that they'll continue trying that particular beverage.
Exactly, yeah.
Scotty, do we have an Amazon product of the week?
Sure. I did this one specifically for your hosting gig here, JP.
Oh.
It is the Petrodex enzymatic toothpaste for dogs in poultry flavor.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so someone
flavor?
It's poultry.
Mm. Okay.
It's a poultry flavor.
This
right.
is poultry.
Paltry.
Paltry. Like, man. It's like, man.
This was $10.64, so we made a cool 85 cents. So thank you. But I do want to pass along, you just had a mead-making tip. Here's Scott's dog toothpaste tip of the week.
Okay.
You can make your own. You do not need to spend $10 for a stupid tube of dog toothpaste. You mix baking soda, cinnamon, and bouillon. The cinnamon will make his breath nice. The bouillon will make it a nice flavor. And then you bind that all together with coconut oil, and you have dog toothpaste.
Coconut oil. How do you bind it with oil?
Because
it solidifies at a room temp or whatever?
You've seen cinnamon before.
Or you can
seen cinnamon before.
Or that's actually correct.
Clicking on the Brewing
binding.
Network Amazon link and continue to buy it.
Not to discourage you. I love you for doing it, but just a word to the wise. You don't have to. Also, you don't need to buy dog shampoo. You can just use dish soap. Just say.
You can also make your own human toothpaste out of baking soda, clay, and coconut
Stop
oil.
Using Pinterest.
Wow. See?
How was your oil pulling,
hey,
by the way?
People, you don't even need toothpaste.
No.
Oh, from the dog.
It makes your breath smell good, though.
Fine. You need... It's the brush.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're scripting. Yeah, but if you want to be kissed by somebody, maybe you should
engaged.
Get like a minty... Or, right.
Well, the minty thing goes away. It's the brushing.
Yes.
Right. So you're saying you just recently bought a tube of toothpaste, Doc?
No, I was given it.
Oh, for the first time in 20 years.
I could make some for you. It doesn't taste very good.
Does it taste like poultry?
It tastes a lot like ash.
Oh.
Hmm.
Ass.
Weird.
Ash, not ass.
You really have. You did that ash so well, we can't even make fun of it now.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for using the link, even though you're a dumbass. Just click on the homepage there.
Buying dogs.
And, right. Do all your own. Dog do your shopping. Tooth.
The dog's going to be dead in 10 to 14 years anyway. Right. Who gives a shit?
I probably have no teeth.
Right, you're just renting right. him.
Whatever. Anyway, on the line, we have Karen, and she's going to wrap with us a bit about the Buddha Beer and Wine
Fest.
You just
scared the hell out of me.
Happening here in the Bay Area. Karen, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, yeah. You sound great.
Now I'm good.
This is, as you know, this is all new, this Skype thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to be coached up. She was like, can you just call my cell? And I was like, no.
No. Okay. So you have to bear with me. But first of all, I just really want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell you about Buddha Beer and Wine.
Of course. Yeah.
And it is for my nonprofit, which is called Offerings. And Offerings is a small nonprofit that helps teach teachers, therapists, and families how to work with their children with autism and other severe developmental disabilities.
Oh, awesome.
It's here local in the San Francisco Bay Area. We've been in operation, probably about 9 years, bringing experts in the field to the local area. And recently we have gone global to Indonesia, where they have absolutely no services for children with autism and developmental disabilities, and very few people who are trained. So that's a little bit about Offerings. Shall I tell you about the event?
Yeah, please do. It sounds from your website, it sounds like there's going to be a jam-packed afternoon for everybody.
Well, it's going to be a great evening. It's Friday night, May 1st, with some pretty amazing San Francisco Bay Area brewers. And you're going to know these better than me, except that my sons really love these guys. So, Dr. Scott.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Ma'am.
Blue Oak, Comrades, Popular, those will be some of the brews that are there, as well as about 8 brews from Anchor Steam. They're Breckley's Brown, they're Porter, they're Old Foghorn, they're Summer Blend, they're Brother Steam, and Liberty Ale are those kind of great stuff.
Yeah, that's all. Anchor Steam does a lot of really good, really good beers.
Okay, well, all of those will be there to taste.
Great.
As well as a local Berkeley group called RDL. They're kind of a jazz Latin pop group with a guy on bass, a guy on piano, on drums and guitar. So they're there to kind of let your body sway to the music after you've had some great tasting beers. And then Toast of the Bay Area will be there to pair yummy stuff.
Oh.
Each of the beers. So there'll be teriyaki chicken and barbecue ribs and mango vegetarian wraps. And then there'll be some tasty desserts by Teeny Cakes. And she's going to have a teeny cake with stout in it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then.
Yes. Oh, there's more.
I don't know how many of your, listeners, but there's going to be some surprise entertainers from Burning Man there.
Oh, our very own Dr. Scott is a burner.
Well, there might be a little bit of fire dancing or stilt walking or magic going on as people, taste these great beers.
I see.
And those people that don't have beers and don't like beers, they'll be Eric Kent wines.
Oh, okay. Awesome. You got to have something for everybody these days.
Yeah, and if those people aren't into wine and they're not into beer, then they can have bubbly water, regular water, or even soda.
Well, they can just watch the show. It sounds like there's going to be some acrobatics there, which sounds kind of cool.
There is going to be some acrobatics.
See, Tasty, there's something for you, too.
And they're all coming together for an amazing cause. I'm very, very grateful that all these people have come together to donate all their time, all their products, so that we can raise funds, so that we can continue educating people to help children with autism. I think if you hadn't noticed, April is Autism Awareness Month. And, we have 1 in 68 children born on the spectrum these days.
Wow.
So there's someone in your family, whether it's, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle who has a child, but we have more children in schools these days than we have ever had before, and we need to help them grow and learn to read, to write, to communicate, so that they can lead as a beneficial life as you do.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't leave that beneficial of a life.
Yeah, you might be the one.
I'm stuck in a dog crate.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Half the time, I chew shoes, and
you're lucky you're engaged.
Yeah, that's true.
You might need some of the interventions if you're chewing shoes.
Yeah, you're right. I probably do. I do. We do have a couple friends here on the show that work with autistic kids, and I've been offered more than once to be written a some sort of plan.
Right.
A social story or a behavior intervention.
Yeah, I'd need a behavioral intervention. Absolutely.
And they are the experts. I mean, you should listen to them.
Yeah.
Where do people go to get tickets?
Okay, so they go to my website or the nonprofit's website, and it's called www.globalofferings.org. And you can also go on Facebook. I mean, Global Offerings has a Facebook page which shows you all the food and the entertainment and the beer that's going to be present, and just kind of follow each week and each couple of days I'm putting new facts about the event on it.
Sounds great. Karen, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. And if you guys are in the Bay Area, come out and check out the event. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, come see Buddha Beer and Wine. Enjoy the fun. And thanks again for giving me the opportunity to learn how to Skype.
You're very welcome.
It's our pleasure.
Anytime you need something like that. Scott's IT service is open 6 days a week.
Thanks a bunch.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, Karen.
Sounds like a cool event, man.
Yeah, it does sound like.
Which day aren't you open?
Saturdays.
Okay,
the Jewish Sabbath. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
duh.
I wasn't gonna just presume.
Yeah, right. You shouldn't do that. You'll make a press out of you and me, and that's not cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you still go to a Giants game.
Larry Bayer is probably half Jewish or something.
Okay.
I have to pee. Let's take a break.
Yeah, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Augie Carton of Carton Brewing. Stay with us.
Listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
The National Homebrew Conference is coming up this summer, and More Beer wants to send you. To celebrate 20 years of serving homebrewers, More Beer is giving away 2 full pass registrations to the 2015 National Homebrew Conference, June 10th through 13th. That's right, 2 full passes, full access to all the presentations, club night and pro brewers night, 2 seats to the grand banquet and awards ceremony, 2 1-year membership gift cards to the American Homebrewers Association, 4-night stay at the beautiful town and country resort, round trip airfare to and from the San Diego Airport, 2 VIP passes to the Brewing Network's own anniversary party, a $250 prepaid Visa gift card for food and your other expenses, and dinner with the More Beer crew. Visit morebeer.com for all the details, and to enter, you can enter once a day through April 15th, and the winner will be drawn on April 25th. If you've already purchased your registration to the event and seats to the grand banquet, those fees can be refunded. Enter today at morebeer.com.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, 2 blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like
Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out, or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the BrewingNetwork.com.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com. Beer tasting games that train your palate, a brewery locator, and the brand new interactive beer style guide. These are just a few of the awesome things you'll find on craftbeer.com. The style guide is a beautiful example of technology in beer. Browse beer style families or turn on the automatic beer style finder and explore beer through color, bitterness, ABV, aroma, and flavor. It's really the coolest way to explore every beer style besides having them all in front of you. Go to craftbeer.com and click on Beer Styles to start the guide. Plus, enjoy the rest of craftbeer.com, the Brewers Banter blogs, beer education, how to host a beer tasting, and the invaluable Draft Quality Manual. Tons of great content that makes your beer better. Visit the new craftbeer.com right now and explore the website that brings you all the passion, camaraderie, and creativity of the craft beer community. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
You're tuned into this session
because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, everyone, thanks for hanging out on this Justin Crossley-less Monday session. Bev, on a scale from 1 to 1,000, how am I doing?
I would say you're going 2,000 right now.
That's impossible. It's a scale ends at 1,000, right. So now I know you're a liar.
You broke the scale.
I know you're a liar. This I know of you,
no, I think
as a matter of fact.
I'm not good at math.
But she is good at breaking scales.
But I am.
Wait.
Turn his microphone off.
You gave it to me. I had to take it.
Inappropriate.
Inappropes. But I think you're doing wonderful. Wonderfully.
You're still on your way
again,
up,
that's
buddy.
Not on the scale of 1 to 1,000.
Fine.
But that's okay.
You're
fine.
Rocking a solid 500.
Wow. Now you're failing.
Yeah, oh, perfect.
Yeah, right.
First I was doing fine. Now I'm a failure.
No, you're
have talking
a,
to my dad?
You have a C. You're a C. Student.
No, that is not a C. That's an F, sweetheart.
Isn't 50? Oh, I was.
Really isn't good at math.
I got F in math.
Yeah, well, maybe in your mind you passed solidly.
I did. I thought I was a C student. Right. Shit. Yeah.
So was that textbook Nick Petros? I love you. You're a failure.
One out of two. Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty fine. Well, if the radio gods are smiling on me, I have Augie Carton of Carton Brewing on the line here. Augie, with us.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, man?
I am well. How are you?
Perfect. We're we're getting along. Apparently, I'm struggling with a 50%. You know, but
well, a C,
but a flying C.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's a loose C, and
it's a
you
big
know,
C,
which is
that is a well scaled C.
Yeah,
thank
which
you.
Is Bev's nickname, which is weird. I don't know what that means.
That's inappropriate too. Why yell at him?
I actually didn't even have a response.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was a good one.
1 minute and in hot water.
Yeah, well, that's what we do here. Yeah. Well, Augie, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate you taking the time out of your evening over there. How long have you guys been brewing over there at Carton?
We officially opened in August 2011, so, you know, 3.5 going on 4 years.
Not bad.
And we brewed 6 weeks before that on the big system. Before that, we were just fooling around on homebrewing.
Yeah, so are you guys, do you have a long homebrewing background?
That's hard to say. The entire story starts at my wedding when my wife's best friend's husband very helpful.
Okay, got it.
So my wife's best friend was in the wedding party, obviously, and her then-boyfriend, Jesse, was around a lot and just did everything you could ask for. He held, you know, he got in-laws from airports and was just always around and just always wonderful.
That's nice.
So at the end of it, we felt obliged to give him a thank you gift. I don't know how many of you have significant others, but when you're forced in the company of your significant other's significant other, you find ways to communicate. And Jesse and I had always kind of done that through flavors. We did it with, you know, we'd barbecue things, we'd open oysters, we'd cook things, we'd stew things. And at the time, Jesse's sister, who used to work in a winery with her husband, was moving to a brewery. We were getting super excited about the idea of brewing, so I gave him a thank you gift of a homebrew kit, one of the really crappy bucket ones. but at the time, it made sense.
Well,
and
I mean,
nice part was – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a good point to make, because whenever you give someone a gift of homebrewing, you never know how deep they're going to go in. And I would feel like a schmuck if I gave Doc here $400, you know, entry-level homebrewing equipment with kegging, and then he goes, yeah, I just don't really like it.
at the time, it was philosophically a challenge, because I had tried one of those same things back in college and didn't even see it through to week one. So it was one of those –
oh, okay.
Now that I was a little more mature, this is 10 years ago, so making me 34, and college had been, say, 15 years before that. So it was more to see if it was that we were dopes in college or, you know, or if these things were really possible. And as you all know, it made a terrible, terrible beer.
Yeah.
But it did start Jesse down brewing. So now our visits with our girl wives now, he got married soon after we did. We're turning into brewing conversations instead of cooking conversations. He'd make a beer, we'd talk about it. I would feel not up to the skill, so I would go read a book. Then we'd talk about what I read, and we'd talk about ideas and philosophies. And it just came to, you know, us kind of brewing in tandem, but not necessarily together. And what would happen if this happened? And what would happen if this happened? At the time, he had another brew partner, and they were doing all these entry beers. And I just got more and more excited about it. And one day I was looking to solve the problem of, what I like to call the problem of flower power. You guys are all out west, right? But you know Ithaca's flower power?
No.
Yeah. Oh, really? Ithaca's beer, right?
Yeah, Ithaca's double IPA flower power, which
we had that on the show many, many years ago, JP. It was in 2010 when Jeff O'Neill was brewing for them. We had some of their flower power.
See, we're in the Bay Area here close to San Francisco, so I hear flower power and I think hippies smoking pot.
Yeah. Especially today.
So I'm like, 20.
Yeah, I'm like, right. I wish everyone in the 60s solved the problem of flower power.
Yeah, but Jeff O'Neill's definitely the brewer, and I think that's where he got that name from. But this is 2009, 2010, so when you're talking about, and I love that beer. It's to get into the semantics, it was a very drinkable beer, but not a very sessionable beer. So I would have four or five in a row, and I'd lose time.
you discovered time travel is what happens.
Exactly. Right. You can control time. You can bend it with your brain.
Yeah.
But so that led to like a year and a half long process with Jesse and I of solving for why couldn't we get similar equivalent flavor
to, you know, to those flavors without that alcohol impact. And that was slowly dissected in, you know, in various different forms and decisions to, you know, replace the large mouthfeel of alcohol because you didn't have that. So what do you put in its place? We wanted bitterness and present, but not so much. And we worked on it, worked on it, worked on it. And finally came up with what became our boat beer. And
I think we're drinking that now.
Yeah, we got it in our glass.
So that would be it. You should have it. It should be super stony, super grapefruity. There should be a nice bite to the hops plus a bite to the Kolsch yeast, which we leave in suspension. It should finish pretty clean, and it should, once your palate adjusts to its bitter, it should, hopefully if it works, it makes you want more. I don't imagine you guys have a case, but there's a great story. So that story continues to my partner, Chris, who's my cousin, my neighbor, my best friend growing up for a long time, and just the person in the Carton family whose judgment I trust. So I went to him with this idea, and kind of he, Jesse, and I partnered up each with our own roles and started Carton back, you know, starting in 10 into 11. And excuse me.
Yeah.
But you know, that's when you start a business, right? You see, you're a market participant. We were all three giant drunks, and we saw a hole in the market, which was something that you could drink that tasted good and exciting, that was super hoppy, but wasn't knock you on your ass 9%. And when we had Boat, we decided to commit to that. So we opened Carton Brewing, kind of a round boat beer, which, you know, I know these days the idea of a session IPA is a very regular and common thing, but back then that wasn't something that was findable.
Yeah, and I personally appreciate it because I dislike IPAs not for the bitterness or the hop character at all, but for the 6 or 7% alcohol. I really enjoy the act of drinking. I like it's the only time I'm really social, let's be honest.
So I imagine you've had a couple at this point.
Yeah, I definitely have. So I for one appreciate that, you know, because people go, oh, you don't like hops, do you, JP? And no, it's not that. It's I don't want to get super hammered. I enjoy the flavor of beer quite a bit. So I for one applaud you for your search for this beer.
Thank you. It's been fun. It was at the time the over hopping was leaning on some sweetness and some alcohol body. Now I think as a group, largely we've moved to saving most of the hops for the end,
okay,
which gives you these kind of big, gorgeous or aromatic beers without a ton of bitterness. But for my palate, those get boring a little more faster than something without some bitterness. So, you know, looking back on it now, and now that a bunch of people are playing this session IPA game, I'm still pretty sure that we did a pretty good job with that beer, and we're pretty happy with it.
So you guys have this one beer that you kind of agreed upon, perfected, and you're like, okay, so we're going to open a brewery now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys just use your homebrew setup and get a license and start cranking out beer, or how?
The third partner, Chris Carton, is a lawyer, so we left that to him while Jesse and I went off to work. So basically, the way the team works now, Jesse since moved on. Our plan was grand, except for the fact that Jesse lives in Brooklyn. And Brooklyn by car is about an hour and a half from the brewery if you hit traffic, which you obviously do every day. So Jesse got us through our first 2.5-3 years and was just a broken man for the effort.
So, oh, God, he did that commute the whole time?
Every single day.
Oh, for God's sake.
Sounds like Warren.
Yeah, so it was great, and it was the best time ever, and I still get to have a lot more fun drinking with him these days than when he was that tired. But he's moved to a local brewery called Other Half, which is literally 5 minutes from his house, so I think it worked out perfectly for all of us. But back then, we were home brewer, and that's what we were doing, and that's what we were basing on. So basically what we did is Chris worked on the plan of sourcing a brew house and sorting all that out. Jesse worked on learning how to actually brew, so we parked him at – I think you guys had Kelly Taylor from Kelso on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Kelly's a good friend of ours, so we paid Jesse to work at Kelly's place for a couple months while he learned from Kelly. We sent him down to Terrapin, where Jesse's sister, who had been in wine early in the story, was. So Jesse went and learned how to brew. I worked on what our next recipes were going to be so that we weren't necessarily one trick pony. when we could all get together, we would brew again on what was then still our, you know, 10-gallon pot and a cooler system. But around the very beginning, because we knew that for this to work, one of the conceits or one of the decisions we made early was that where we'd seen breweries fail in New Jersey, back then there weren't necessarily a ton of successful breweries. We had a handful of some really great breweries, Ramstein and Dogfish Head and Cricket Hill. But back in 2011, in the beginning, that was pretty much it, which is yet another reason we decided we should do it. It was very disconcerting to Chris and I that when we would try to source a keg for our own kegerators in the house, it was easier to get Dogfish, Trogues, and Brooklyn than it was to get anything in our own state.
Oh, yeah. Got to fix that.
I know you Bay Boys would never have that concern since all the greats have been out there for 45 years.
Yeah.
We're spoiled.
Easily.
But for us, that was a, you know, Jersey is nothing if not proud. And that was very upsetting to a couple of, you know, seventh generation Jersey boys to not be able to get a Jersey beer in our house. So that was yet another motivating factor. But like I said, so the sister from the beginning of the story who was in wine had moved to Terrapin with her husband. So we sent Jesse down there for a couple months. I think I'm repeating myself, so I'll stop. You guys stop.
So all,
that's all right.
All three of you were born and raised in New Jersey, in the same
not
town
Jesse,
you're in now?
Jesse's from Colorado. Okay. Chris and I were born and raised within three houses of each other. Chris in the house our grandfather raised our dads in.
Wow.
Chris's daughters and my sons are the fourth generation on the same road, and we are the seventh generation within 4 miles of our brewery.
That's old school. I love that. Yeah.
We've never really moved far.
No.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it made it a lot easier. Jersey's just starting to learn the language of brewing. So a lot of people have had some difficulties that we got to avoid because we were hometown boys in our hometown, which gives you a little credit with a suspicious town council.
Yeah, you have that street cred, man.
So, well, at least they know where to find us if we do something.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody knows who you are. So the stats on your can, it's a 3.5 SRM, which I appreciate when breweries put the SRM. You know, it's like more and more home brewers.
More information.
Yeah. 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 More 4.2% alcohol, 35 IBUs.
Yep.
Doc, you don't. You're similar to me. You dislike IPAs. What do you think about this beer?
Well, this one's what I like about it. They're not. It's just. It's got enough bitterness that's pretty good, but not super bitter.
Right.
But the floralness is just wow. Just pops.
Super pungent. Very floral.
Very floral. It's what they call hop flavor, but not hop bitterness. But there's enough there that's. It doesn't make it flabby and. Sessionable.
Right. Yeah. It's not hop water.
It's not hop water.
Which you can, it's very easy to do, I think, especially with numbers like that.
There's a lot going on in this beer, and it's got a lot of bitterness, but not too much, not palate killing. And it's just so floral. It's nice.
Well, it's interesting because you use German malts and Kolsch yeast.
Yep.
What made you choose the Kolsch yeast? Is that to.
Kolsch was actually. It was an early runner, and it was a decider. I think next you guys will try our double IPA O-Dub. And what's funny is O-Dub is born of one of the experimentations of trying a different yeast. We tried Chico. Everybody knows what a different yeast well-treated does to a beer's flavor profile. But the giant difference in what Chico brought to rounding that stuff out and tying it all together and kind of flattening out the edges that I think make Boat so sessional, right? Boat is much more a study in its peaks than its valleys.
Yeah.
And what Chico did to that was make it valleys. So that's how it turned into our double IPA. I was like, this is also a beautiful beer, but it doesn't work at 4% because it's too linear. So let's fatten it up.
Okay.
So basically, those two are cousins. The only hop difference is that there's an extra C hop.
So one's a fat cousin
in the other in Dub. But going back to Boat, so the Kolsch yeast was we didn't want it to be a hoppy lager. Although there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think you can hop it enough. When you over hop a lager, it's astringency for astringency's sake. Like, you know what I mean? With a great yes. lager recipe, you shouldn't really go past, say, 30, and that's a high-end IBU. Uh-huh. Whereas just playing Kolsch, which is obviously, I would say, I don't think anybody would get mad at me for calling it lager's closest cousin, it sells enough phenolic character to bring some fruitiness to offset and play at those higher IBUs Boat needed to be. And then what we learned while we were fooling around with it was if we didn't crash it hard, give it a week, lager it, and really get all the yeast out of the way, the dead yeast itself, if you look at that, it's a pretty cloudy beer. Some of that is wheat. It's about, you know, the bill is probably about 10% wheat. But some of that is just in suspension Kolsch because Kolsch hates to flock. And what we found was when we did make it flock, the bitter profile of that beer lost some of its bitterness. And our decision was that the yeast in suspension was adding a dead yeast bitterness. You guys homebrew, you've definitely tasted yeast. And you know what it does. Right. But so the idea there was that it was giving some – I hate – complexities become so trite, but it was giving some complexity to the bitter profile of the hops without just being more hops and just astringency for astringency's sake.
And so you're kind of using it as a way to boost the bitterness because the yeast in suspension has kind of got some hop oils on it versus Cal Ale or Chico
but
that would kind of fall
don't
out.
Don't discredit the phenolics. If you do clean it out and make it pretty and crystal, it loses some of that wrinkle of the bitterness, but it's still much better than any of the lager yeasts were performing because, you know, it still has some fruitiness to it, although it's not what you could do with, say a British yeast.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're counting for that yeast to contribute a flavor, and a lot of people will strip it out and go, well, that's the beer. But if you leave it as a conscious choice, then that's part of your... It's part of your product. It's part of your end result.
Not exactly. In small beers, you've only got a few places to make a statement.
Yeah.
And, but then hopefully as you
can do that, then that's great.
Thank you.
You were talking about...
You also get this kind of irony mineraliness. Mm-hmm. That's our local water. The house I'm talking to you from has a well. We're on a mountain. Monmouth County has its own reservoir. Atlantic Highlands, the town the brewery's actually in, has its own aquifer. And we're on this very, we call it peanut stone, but it's this kind of red, iron-rich sandstone. And all of our water comes, you know, and our brewery's 3 feet from the bay. So our water just kind of naturally has this salty, kind of iron-rich profile to it, which makes for the best bagels, pizza, and Italian subs you've ever had in your life. But it's also a big part of what Kolsch did was stay out of the way of that water, right? We didn't need to salt it heavily to get the hops to pop, and that let the water itself just show through as yet another wrinkle on what we were trying to do at such a small scale.
Oh, you're talking about overhopping a lager, and I went right there with you on that one. just the malt profile on a lager is just too sharp. Yeah. And all you're going to do is sharpen it up with more hops anyway.
Right.
Or you can go to those kind of, you know, the sweeter malt side of German lagers that almost get grapey. And then all of a sudden the hops are just completely discordant because for some reason that sweetness makes the hops seem wrongly bitter.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like the second one so much better.
We just poured the double IPA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, one question on the session beer, though. You mentioned that you wanted to, get a body character in the beer to support the higher hopping level. Besides that, we mentioned the yeast is the character that it gives across. What did you do in the grain bill to support
that? Well, so there's about 10% wheat, which is exactly just for that mouthfeel, that body, that little bit of tongue cover. And then actually to accentuate the yeast and correct the water touch, it's about 4% acidulated. And then the rest is just 2-row Pilsner. You know, and then like I said, we lean heavily on the water's own profile and the yeast and suspension to just add feeling to it.
Comes and across
and
nice.
And it's 35 IBUs then, right?
Yep.
So that's more like a pale ale sort of level, I'd say, right?
Well, yeah. It's like I said, it's funny because people kind of cling tenaciously to the idea of style. And we have an event tomorrow where we're bringing 26 beers we've made this year. Wow. And the only one that is a style is the one you're drinking now, the double IPA.
Well, yeah, I mean, I use style as just more as like, you know,
but,
general.
But what I'm saying is so it's tough. I've had to defend the idea for so long. I don't want to sound sensitive, but it's a German yeast with German malts. Mm-hmm. mostly American, some Southern Hemisphere hops, and Jersey water. So it's as much any one thing as it is another. So we just try to identify it. If I could fit it on the can, I would just call it a super hoppy session ale for double IPA drinkers. if you're an IPA drinker, not a double IPA drinker, I think Boat's a little too bitter for you.
I could see that.
Maybe that's what I'm getting at is I like Boat, but it's a little bit bitter for me.
But that's fair. Boat is definitely not to make everyone happy. It's mostly to make me happy.
Well, then that's all good, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, like I said, it was our problem. Jesse, Chris, and I'm not exaggerating. Let's take it back to 2009, 2010. If you put us in the company of a six-till of Nugget Nectar or Dogfish 90 or Ithaca Flower Power or any of the greats that were readily fresh available back then, it was in danger of disappearing that night. We all lived close together. When Jesse was visiting here, he was sleeping in my house. My house is 20 houses from my cousin's. There was no driving. And we would sit down and drink till we were done being interested by the way a thing tasted. And sometimes that was like, so there's a great story about Boat. When we finally decided to commit to Boat, we'd been brewing it on, you know, stovetop brewing it for so long, and basically Jesse would travel down here with the next version and a growler. And when we really were committed to the idea of opening a brewery, I put forth the notion that sounded so wise and profound at the time that sure, but if we were going to put all this investment into a sessionable small beer and, you know, and commit all of our family's future to it, it only worked if we liked more than two each, and we'd only really had two each at this point out of a growler. So we whipped up a six-till, drove it down, babied it like it was, you know, like it was a newborn, hooked it up in Chris's kegerator on a corny, and kind of agreed with each other that if we were still interested in this beer after five each, we would go ahead with this plan. And the first time the three wives looked at the three of us rolling around in the grass high-fiving when the keg kicked 2 hours later, they weren't sure we hadn't hoodwinked them with our plan to open a brewery.
Or marry them in the first place.
Right.
Exactly. Well, that it was way too long for most of them at that point.
I like the way that they think. I like the way, Augie, that you think, because you go, well, if we're going to do it, we should really go to the extreme. We should really love it. And then, you know, if we hate it, well, you know, whatever. So let's just go away from the neighborhood and drink ourselves into the point where we sign contracts.
Exactly. That's, you know, it's a session beer, and a Jersey Shore beach session is at least a six pack of cans, right? It doesn't stop at a second
tall
pint.
Cans.
They're tall boys.
Is that what you did at your investor meetings too? You brought six dolls for everybody and said, all right, finish these and then we'll talk money.
Yeah. We've definitely been through a lot of beer in the last 3 years.
That's amazing. How is the craft beer scene out in New Jersey? You talked a little bit about it. It sounds a little barren, but you know, we've had a lot of East Coast representation as of late. So
I'm going to use someone else's terms here. Please don't think these are my terms. But there's a great kind of local beer scene reporter named Jeff Linkus with a blog called The Beer Stained Letter, which just kind of reports on Jersey beer news without really getting emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. He calls three of us the class of 2011. That's myself, Mike Kane, and Kate May Brewing. We just coincidentally all hit whatever point of frustration with the Jersey scene together, and we all opened within about 2 months of each other. Wow. And then soon after we opened in 2012, Jersey changed the law a little, which made what I guess the world calls a nano much more feasible. Mm-hmm. So the scene itself has got a lot more exciting in the last, well, let's say in the last 5 years, but definitely in the last three, because before your tasting was 100% your tasting is, like, if you're a production brewery, Jersey makes a big difference between production breweries and brew pubs. But if you're a production brewery like we are, you have to have taken a tour to taste. You're not a bar. You're not a retail place for beer. touring is part of marketing and tasting can be part of that marketing, but you could only give up to four ounce tastes, and they were to be given away for free as part of a tour.
Okay.
Which is just a terrible business plan when you're, when you don't have, you know, real big beer money. The only really way to introduce people to your concepts is your tasting room. So those laws changed for the better in 2012. So those of us that opened up before then had to open 15 barrels or bigger and had to have your feet on the street selling in order to get the beer out there to stay alive.
Wow.
Whereas now you can sell a pint of beer, and it's a much more feasible business plan as a small brewery to open at the 3 to 7 size with a tasting room that sells that many barrels of beer at $5 a pint than trying to convince people to give you a tap handle with an $85 sixthel.
Yeah, so would you
so
have...
all of a sudden there's these 10 new guys and 20 more on the way that are just rightly sized to add interesting things to New Jersey, right? There's all these guys coming up now that can make 8 or 10 beers a week and give them to their communities and get feedback from their communities and perfect the beers at a more reasonable scale. So all of a sudden, it's a lot more exciting time to be in New Jersey.
Is that something you would have done, is opened up at a smaller ratio and maybe at a 7-barrel and kind of incrementally gotten larger as your fan base grew?
That's hard to say. We've been in a real pickle from day one. We've never been able to produce enough beer, and we've been behind. Our 5-year business plan, remember we're our 3.5 year, was to grow from a 15 with 330s and 130 bright to a 15 with 330s, 130 bright, 345s and 145 bright. And we bought that our second week and had it installed by our 6th month.
Wow.
And that's the entire capacity of our footprint. We're in a very small building in the middle of a town. So we've been trying to figure out, we've signed a lease on the building next door, which is a more appropriately sized building. And now it's just jumping through all the hoops to get tanks in there. We're really not looking forward to, I don't want to get involved in the contract versus production debate, but for our beers that are the beers we need, like, as much as we like to fool around with things like, you know, we did a white truffle triple. Yesterday we put out a chili saffron saison. Next month we do a wasabi and green apple Berliner. The month after that we do a prickly pear paddle Berliner.
Wow.
So we love to fool around, and those are fun, and that's creative, and that's what keeps it interesting for us and excites our neighbors. But we got to make boat beer. Or I'm going to go crazy. And if we don't, I just don't believe we can make boat beer somewhere else. So the solution has to be getting more space somewhere in Monmouth County, New Jersey.
Great.
And that's been going very slow. But I think philosophically, if I could do it over again, we would be a storefront in a small town with a 3-barrel system and like 25 3-barrel fermenters. And I would just be brewing all the time, and we'd just be rolling them up, pouring right off them, refilling them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, open Thursday through Sunday, 8 hours a day, and just sharing one pint at a time and getting people's feedback. And then, you know, maybe we would make a big jump to like a 30-barrel brew house from there once we were secure in 15, 20 recipes.
Yeah, because the opening at 15 barrels, that kind of – did that force you into going into being a package brewery? Was that something you had counted
on? That's
the
only way to do it in New Jersey. You can't go another way.
Oh, really? Not even now? Not even with the new laws?
No. Well, you can now sell pints in your tasting room.
Yeah.
But you can't serve food. So you're still limited to being a taster.
Yeah, so did you pick your facility based on having a good location for your tap room, so that way you'd get a lot
we
of people?
We picked our facility based on being in our town, and it was the only warehouse space in our town. It happens to be directly across from the elementary school.
What's the square footage within? You can only fit four fermenters.
It's 5,000 all in. That's with the brew house. That's with all the dry storage. That's with the tasting room and the office. The entire building is 5,000 square feet.
Oh. So that's half the size. That's twice the size of my office.
But
It's a weird.
Yeah, we're very small. We're just white.
Oh my god!
How many White Houses is that?
Oh my god!
I actually took my kids to the White House on President's Day this year. I believe three of our breweries fit in the yellow room.
So I have a lot of questions about the warehouse space, but I don't want to blow past the Green Apple thing.
I want to so in the second segment I want to talk about their Tippy series and kind of all those funky beers that they're doing there. So maybe we can
we'll save it. But you know, it's funny because I just wrote down yesterday. I don't remember why the question popped into my head, but Augie, we do a show on this network called The Sour Hour. With Jay Goodwin. He's from the Rare Barrel. And I wrote down on my phone in my notepad to ask him a question the next time we do the show, which is if he's ever considered doing like a sour apple sour beer, which, I mean, I know that's just been pounded into my head in my time here on the BN, that that's an off flavor and you just don't, you stay away from the apple in beer. But, I mean, you know, you get a packet of Jolly Ranchers, the best flavor is the sour apple. I mean, people love sour apple flavor, so why is that just out of the question to do in a beer? So we can get to that later, I guess.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you on that.
You don't like the sour apple? Okay, no. But you have to admit you're the exception.
Cherry and watermelon.
Okay, fine. I give you that. Those are
both
good.
Bevo and I are the exception then.
Really?
Yeah. No, the
it's
fire,
the worst
the fire one.
Yeah. Sour apple is definitely the worst Skittle.
Get out of here!
Well, no,
you guys are nuts.
They should go back to lime.
I agree with that. The sour apple, the day that that Skittles changed from lime to sour apple is the day that I cried inside a little more than usual. But I do like sour apple.
Something died in you, didn't it?
It did a little more. I do like. It's the day I got cancer.
He wrote poetry about it.
I did. I have a poem. It's just all tear stained.
I can read it for you if you want.
I like sour apple. Ranchers,
yeah,
but watermelon is kind of the best.
All right, fine, but it's still pleasant. I'm just saying, people would love a sour apple beer, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm being gentle here because you said you wanted to save this after the break. But if you want, I'll get into the philosophy of deciding that off flavors in German lagers apply to American ales.
No, I want to save that definitely because that is super important. I think that's a whole entire conversation.
It definitely is. But let me ask a quick question about the warehouse.
Go ahead.
So I know I was reading about it online and I was looking at pictures and it's this beautiful red brick warehouse. But I did catch wind that it looked like a 1974 pile of crap when you guys inherited it.
It was awesome.
Can you expound upon that?
He laughs.
All right. So a little history of our town and our building. Did you guys watch Boardwalk Empire when it was on?
I saw some of it.
Yes.
If you remember, there was a season where Bobby Cannavale was this crazy mobster from New York down, and he kind of set up shop in a small town where the cars had to stop halfway between New York and Atlantic City for gas.
At the gas station?
And it was this Methodist tent town. Yeah, the gas station. It's been well argued to me by local historians that that town has to be our town. Our town was founded by a group of Methodists on the shore. There's a couple of these towns in New Jersey. There's actually one that still goes called Ocean Grove. And what they would do is they'd come for the summer, obviously back before air conditioning in the mid-1800s, getting near the water in summer was just a smart move. But there's a couple of these communities. There were some on the Delaware, some on the Atlantic. But they incorporated the town and they founded it. Our building was built by them in the late 1890s to store the tents in when they'd leave for the winter. Now, the truth is a couple things happened in that community. We're largely a community of fishermen, still to some extent. But a couple things all happened around the time of Prohibition, which was one, Prohibition. Two, the Hudson was too polluted to fish. And just a couple other things that made the best business for a guy with a small day boat was to run 3 miles out and bring whiskey back to town, which is very hard on a Methodist dry community. So that's when it kind of switched over to being just a regular New Jersey community with all kinds of people playing all kinds of games. So over the years, our building has been a moving company. Like I said, it's across the street from the school, so it was a candy store, because before you put breweries across the street from a school, you put a candy store.
Yeah, because you get the kids used to going across the street to get stuff, right?
I think of it more as labor than customers. And it was – the school used it as a learning annex and an annex the Board of Ed. And it's been a whole bunch of other things. Before we took it over, it was a moving company. The interesting thing for the really geeky ones of you Have any of you ever heard it contended that Chico yeast that Ken uses was actually sampled out of Ballantine's IPA?
I have not personally. No. Tasty, you're older. Yeah, you're older
I've
than
heard that. I've heard that yeah. rumor.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the legend of Chico.
Yeah.
Well, Ballantine's IPA was made in Northern Jersey. Our building was a Fiegenspan depot to cool beer down out of Newark. Fiegenspan was bought by Ballantine. So basically for about 10 years out of Prohibition or 5 years out of Prohibition, people would park Fiegenspan bottles in our building. And I like to believe that that's the Chico yeast we now use in the 077 you're drinking.
Look
we
at
just
you.
Had to buy it back from California.
I can taste that personally. You guys can't taste that?
The history?
The yeah. New Jersey?
Yeah. I taste the brick.
That's a cool story, man.
Yeah, that's just me being romantic. But anyway, the thing you were asking about, the decrepit building. So the warehouse space was a warehouse. So that wasn't that bad. We had to trench the floors and do that stuff. We did have to cut a hole in the building to get the 45 tanks in. But what is now our tasting room was just this horrible thing that I believe had to have been built by the Board of Ed because it was just so soulless. It was gray, 1 foot. You know, carpet squares with white vinyl soundproof inch thick 4x8 paneling with a white styrofoam drop ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like our studio. What do you think?
Like, oh, how dare you?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
No.
We have soul here.
It was rot.
Porn industry.
But the good part is during the build out one day, I was at work and Chris was at work and Jesse called us. Because there was a leak in the what we were calling the tasting room, but we were pretty sure our tasting room was going to really look like a dentist waiting office.
Hey! We got a dentist.
Very nice and
here.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
Nice magazine.
Lots of good reading.
It's called the reception area.
Yeah, an unfinished puzzle and some reading glasses.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, hey, but, wait.
So anyway, there. Jesse calls us for this leak because they've pushed up the ceiling tile to find where the leak's coming from, and there was a 4 foot square skylight in this beautiful old rough hewn timber joisting. So Chris, my partner, is just he's built like a G.I. Joe, like a action figure. It's very tough. And he goes, well, if that's what's up there, what the fuck? And he walked over and he just dug his fingers behind one of these soundproof vinyl wall panels, pulled it back, and it was just beautiful red brick, which you've seen the outside of the building. That's what the inside would be. So our biggest concern at the time was, were we really going to have people up to this office space, red stapler kind of environment? And somehow had that solved by the character that was underneath all this. So our brewery is basically just that room stripped down to its studs, its rafters, and its walls, and then we just put an oak floor in it and built a bar in it. And when this commitment happened, Chris moved out of the city back home to our hometown full time. So most of the furniture in our tasting room is his apartment's furniture. So when you walk in, it's I hope it's very inviting, but it's basically two leather couches, a nice oriental rug that ties the room together, and
no black lights,
and an old CRT TV,
at our bar, and that's about it. And like I said, it has served us very well for 3.5 years, so we're in no way sorry about it.
Man, in California, you'd have to go through so much retrofitting.
With
and,
the brick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's all about retrofitting for earthquakes. With that,
yeah, but I guess on the East Coast, you don't have any sort of...
When we get an earthquake, our brewery falling down will be the last thing anybody talks about.
So this is beautiful, though. I love this story, because anytime you can demo out a space and that's your finish work.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, JP, yeah. I mean, your bathroom needs to be redone, your hallway bathroom.
Absolutely,
So
yeah.
What if I just showed up there with like a surgical mask and a sledgehammer, demoed everything out, and went, all right, I'm done.
Perfect.
And you went, holy crap, this is beautiful.
It looks great.
Works quickly, throw a floor in, we're open.
Yeah, I love bare studs. It's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, and these are really cool. Like, I've learned a couple weird tricks. People teach you the funniest thing in these buildings. But the way we know the building was built before 1890 is because the ceiling's rafters don't tie into the wall, which was a fire safety thing. After 1900, they somehow – I wish I had the guy who taught it to me. But for fire safety now, the building is designed – to fall in and away towards the walls rather than fall flat. And that's all how you tie the joists to the wall. And I guess it's been a code around here since then. So he can tell that this was built either before or after that because of how they tie into the wall. It's just, you know, it's just neat stuff you learn when you're in a pool.
So are you guys direct fired?
No, we're jacketed. We use a hot liquor.
Speaking of joyce.
We're jacketed. It's just a hot liquor. It's a Newlands 15 barrel. It's basically a pub system that we just ask way too much of.
What kind of shoes do you wear?
To be fair, I have a really bad habit for Jordans and LeBrizzles.
Wow, that's a good question.
Huh. Yeah.
It's a basketball story.
I have the hard-hitting questions. I just can't normally shine.
The first year anniversary, I gave the 6 staff members carton orange custom-made Air Force Ones.
Yeah, shut up. That's awesome.
Like the ID as a thank you gift.
Yeah, they got a lot of – it's like an orange and white can, so the sneakers match the branding. Good stuff.
Well, everything in carton turned orange. That's actually a very funny story. The basic concept for my branding was your name is Carton. It means box. You either embrace that and own it or you ignore it and it bites you in the ass.
Right.
So my description to the graphic people I worked with was I gave them like 3 basic directions. I was like, look, I understand that Sierra Nevada is everybody's go-to look, but I hate a false patina. Give me everything new. Don't Martha Stewart any of my shit. And if we're around long enough to get old, then stuff will get old.
Right.
And otherwise, I just wanted to be real simple. There's this gross of eggs carton, so 144 eggs you see in Chinatown when you're stumbling home at 6 a.m. in New York that just is a big box with, you know, 12 flats of eggs in it that says eggs on it. Like, make that, but make that word carton. And, of course, these things were negotiated in design rounds. So when I asked, and I said very clearly, I was like, show me red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and make them the buck crayons in the Crayola box that say red, orange, yellow, green, blue.
Not don't Pantone 479.
And of course, in direct, because, you know, graphic artists are graphic artists and they want to be part of the game, they came back with sage, dusty rose, pumpkin, slate, and a whole bunch of stuff Martha Stewart would have put into a bathroom. So in a fit of anger when they told me that if I wanted to see a new round of colors, I had to pay for it, I shouted, walk out on the street, pick up a traffic cone, and send me back that orange, you're fired.
Nice.
But what we learned as a wonderful benefit of that frustration is every single thing in the world is made in traffic cone orange. Right? It's OSHA's safety color. So when we need a mallet to set a tap and a cask at a cask fest, in the row of mallets is one that's bright orange. So the benefit has been that every single thing we buy somehow makes it look like we're these marketing geniuses.
Right.
When all it is but it comes in orange, should we get that?
Yeah. Safety.
A day glow tap right. handle.
Yeah.
There you go. You know more than your stupid design firm.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was 100% anger. To be fair, it was really Chris that wanted orange. I was leaning towards a royal blue color, and I just knew that in the long run, I was probably going to end up voting with Chris anyway. So my frustration was, give me frickin' orange right now. I can't believe you don't know that there is a color orange.
Yeah. Well, you can't go out. You can't go out there on the street and give me someone wearing a Royals jersey because they don't have any fans.
Exactly. But so orange was definitely Chris's plan, but it definitely worked out for us and our general marketing feel. Out of my pure, I'm going to kill somebody blind rage.
So there you go, JP. Next time someone accuses you of being an angry person, just tell them it's incredibly productive.
Yeah, it's a gateway to genius.
If you're willing to commit to it, the point of custom-made Nikes, you look like you mean it.
Yeah, I would commit to custom-made Nikes for sure. I would definitely do that.
Well, we have more beer to try. Should we?
Yeah, we're gonna try more beer. We're gonna take a break real fast. Right. If you can hang out with us, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit. Yeah, I'll grab a beer. We're going to talk about the tippy, your tippy beers and all that kind of good stuff.
All right, right on.
All right, man. Hang with us. Sure. It's the session, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge Electric Mash Water Heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Hey, Wooly, I'm beat. Can we find a nice tree to just hang out in for a while?
You're beat? I've been swinging through this forest for 50 years, ever since we
first escaped from the circus. I know, but there's got to be more to life than exploring this creek and trying to populate the valley by copulating with loose, hairy girls.
Marquis, stop. Look!
What is that?
It looks like a man-made treehouse.
With fresh food.
And craft beer.
Welcome to the Creek Monkey Tap House, boys. Grab a seat. Creek Monkeys drink free.
Awesome!
The Creek Monkey Tap House in Martinez, California takes their mission of fresh food and beer seriously. They only serve locally raised beef and chicken, as well as local sustainable produce. It's better for you and the planet, and it just tastes better. The beer and wine at Creek Monkey Tap House are chosen with the same care for the highest quality and rotate frequently to make each visit an adventure. Yeah. Swing on in to the Creek Monkey Tap House and enjoy a new legend of amazing food, beer, and wine. The Creek Monkey Tap House, online at creekmonkey.com.
For nearly 40 years, one organization has had your back. The American Homebrewers Association. Are you a member? Why not? Join the more than 40,000 brewers who enjoy all the American Homebrewers Association has to offer. Like Zymergy Magazine, in print and online, plus the Zymergy app. Zymergy is the leading publication for amateur brewers around the world. Supporters also get member deals at their local breweries, bars, and homebrew shops. These alone quickly pay for your membership. You'll also get great member-only resources at homebrewersassociation.org and access to AHA events like the National Homebrewers Conference and the National Homebrew Competition. The American Homebrewers Association promotes the hobby of homebrewing, protects the interests of homebrewers, and brings beer lovers together. Become a member today. It costs less than a batch of beer and gives back so much more. Visit homebrewersassociation.org.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret Elite Bare Bones Club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Brewcasters are back.
888-401 beer.
Whatever.
All right, we're still hanging on here in the Hop Grenade in downtown, lovely downtown Concord, California.
Places, don't leave out the lovely.
You can't leave out the lovely.
But never.
Place is popping. We got the don't we have the NHL playoffs on?
Yeah, we sure right? do.
How the Sharks doing?
Are they
under par or at least?
I'm pretty sure they're losing.
Oh, they made it to the playoffs?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
I just meant like on the golf course.
Oh.
Yeah. The shooting.
I think they're playing the Kings in a round of 18.
Oh,
perfect.
So sad.
The reigning champs are on vacation.
Terrible.
Well, whoever has the most home games will win.
Exactly right.
I don't know if you guys caught that, but Jarrett Stoll, one of the Kings players, was arrested in Vegas a couple nights ago.
No.
He had a Coke and ecstasy at the pool deck of the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
And I got like a 10 friends forwarding, hey, did you see this? It's like, well, he's making the most of his vacation, man. What do you want?
Yeah, you're gonna test clean later on. You might as well do it now.
Exactly.
We're still hanging out here with Augie Carton from Carton Brewing. Augie, you still with us?
Hello.
All right.
Hey, Augie, we got your SS Kentucky from Need a Bigger Boat series. This is another Imperial IPA. This one was smoked pineapple.
Yeah.
What?
We did that one in conjunction with Against the Grain in Kentucky.
What are you drinking right now?
Me?
Yeah, you went at the break. You got a beer. What did you grab?
Hot Pun. It's just our kind of it's an American pale we do. It's a combination of kind of a hop theory of mine and then flushing it out. But I discovered at some point playing around that if you add Supergalee about 30 minutes into a 60-minute boil, it does this kind of neat strawberry thing. And I wanted to dress around that. So my new brewer's name is Pete Dixon. When Pete joined us about 2 years ago, I always say when you hire a new chef, you don't ask him to make you his best dish. You ask him to make you an omelet. And you can tell if the guy's got any chops by how he handles his eggs.
Yes.
Well, in brewing, that's a pale ale, right? So
sure.
When we brought Pete in, we just started talking about pale ales, and I was talking about that, and he was talking about how he thought that could be accentuated by Ringwood yeast. I had never really played with Ringwood because it's supposed to be scary, scary esters-wise. So, So I said, go ahead. And then we started pushing that around with some Mosaic and then a couple, 6,300 from Hopsteiner and 263 from Hop Union and all these kind of melony berry hops. And this is all just tippy brewing just to learn how to talk to each other. And the second or third version of the beer made me so happy. I kind of added it to the list as a 6 month, summer half of the year pale. We call it Hot Pun because it's what I was trying to describe it to Pete. In theory, I was like, it has to be one of those beers, the ones you would give a dumb Hot Pun name to. And it became Hot Pun.
Did he hop to it?
It was hopped to. Hopped right on it.
Are you afraid of handling multiple yeasts? It sounds like you're at least doing three.
We basically use a different yeast for everything.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're being lazy when you do the house yeast thing. I see all four ingredients as important. We dress our water to certain beers. As much as I love to be the fool around brewer that does things like, an orange blunt ale, it all starts with what I'm getting from hops and what we can do to it. So even our little tiny session stout is built around the fact that I think bouillon hops taste like black currants. So that's a great story. That's actually a fun story. I was really perplexed on what yeast to use for that. So this is back in the early days, Jesse and I, but we brewed 20 gallons in the tippy, split it into four carboys, pitched each with a different yeast, Chico and Kulsh, because they were both obviously already in the house. And then we used Irish, and I can't remember what the other yeast was because it lost. But and then I had a dozen people over to the brewery at midnight, well lubricated, had the head of the tasting room, who back then was a woman named Rebecca, blind number every glass and just give everybody a glass 1 through 4, and we voted. And my feeling is when you're not blind, your allegiances to ideas like Irish yeast in a stout, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you present that to somebody, I think they're just predisposed to thinking it's good. So we blinded it, and the Irish won something like 12 to the number two, like everybody picked Irish, and then the number two spot was split like 7-5.
Wow.
So that's how that became an Irish yeast beer. And then we just fool around, right? It's what you want. You get a groove with some. Right now, fooling around with an IPA. We still haven't made just a straightforward IPA. and I'm getting the itch to do a hoppy beer again. So I'm fooling around with looking to just accentuate dank since it's 420. As much as I've been having fun playing all these silly fruity hops games with things like Hop Pun and Boat and O-Dub, I want to just, you know, go to those hops that smell like weed and try to strip out pine and spice and fruit and just go for predominantly the dank hop smell. And I'm currently of the opinion that Fuller's does that best, but I'm not 100% sold on it yet.
So do you guys prop up yeast, or you just bite the bullet?
No, we buy pitches.
We buy a whole pitch.
Boat beer does its best work pitch 3 through about 11, so I'm buying a new Kolsch pitch every dozen anyway. So, which is, okay.
Yarrow,
you can tell. You can feel
works
if,
well.
If you're its daddy, you know which pitch it's on, and we just decided we couldn't push it any farther than that.
Let's talk about this SS Kentucky here.
All right, right on.
That Scott mentioned, that's delicious.
It's a really interesting way of adding smoke to a beer with something other than malt.
How did you do how did you smoke the pineapple?
All right, so I know I just keep running away, but basically SS is a series of the double the boat recipe. So that's Kolsch yeast and the boat recipe up at 8.4 instead of down at 4.2.
Okay. All right.
And we've done it a couple ways. We have one, which is Yirgacheffe. So we change most of the dry hopping to lemon drop hops. And then we add this cold brewed Yirgacheffe coffee, which kind of inherently tastes like lemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's one. And we've done this one, the one you're tasting, or its origination was basically just all the boat hops doubled up and really going for it. But we decided to go with Pacific Jade and a blend pellet called Zythos.
Mm-hmm.
So the boat flavors were which are obviously grapefruit dominant, and then everything else comes up as it warms and settles out a little. In that beer, it was very pineapple-y. Like, it was really neat that those hops took the original 8 hops of boat plus these 2 took it to this pineapple place. And I was always really interested in that. Then at Extreme Beer Fest in Boston a year ago, I met the guys from Against the Grain, who are wonderful brewers, and what kind of really attracted me to what they do is they were talking about how they're a smokehouse, they barbecue, and that when they wanted to make something kind of their own, they would tend to smoke it, which, as you know, I don't know if you pay attention to any rating sites or anything like that, but smoking a beer is absolute suicide for a rating.
Well, because it's a flavor profile that not a lot of people understand.
Agreed. Yeah. But like I'm saying, so when I found this place that was committed to when they wanted to make something their own, they smoked some part of it. And that started the conversation. Like, they smoked some salt for a goza. They And I asked if they'd ever smoked hops, and they said they had, but they didn't really like the way it worked. And then I was thinking about that beer, the base beer, the one you're drinking. I was like, could you smoke pineapples? And, you know, at this point we'd had 20 beers together, so they very proudly said, we can smoke anything. So we went out to their brewery in January. And Jerry, their brewmaster, had come up, you know, so basically our recipe, we brought our Kolsch yeast out to them, and we brought all the weird hops that nobody can get, and left it to them. So basically for the grist for a 15 barrel brew, one 50 pound sack of two row was smoked on peach wood.
Peach wood.
Peach wood was used to smoke the malt.
Okay.
And then the pineapples themselves were laid on that burning wood to kind of char up nice and black and caramelize the sugars on. And then those were bagged and put into the whirlpool. This is one of those fun beers that's why it's good that Carton's predominantly Jersey and I can interact with everybody right on Facebook when they don't understand a beer. But it's one of those quandaries of being a brewer these days where we put pineapple in it, so we thought that needed to be mentioned in some way.
Right.
But what we were looking to do was add a wrinkle in the form of smoke and add a little more pineapple to the pineapple hops. So there's a group of people that get that beer and get very angry that it's not a shandy.
Huh.
You know, it's not a pineapple juice beer.
Right.
And I get that because it says smoked pineapple on it. But then they get mad it tastes like smoke and doesn't taste like pineapple. And it's a beer that confuses some, but if you look at it for what it's supposed to be, which is just to be a wickedly aggressive, bitter, big, lean American 8.4 IPA that has all these pineapple aromatics on it, the idea was to add wrinkles to those aromatics of a little more pineapple and some smoke.
You get the pineapple. It's there.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely there.
But here's the thing. It was nice there too, without the pineapple.
Yeah, it could be from the hops, but yes.
Yeah, those hops were so pineapply that I couldn't have put another fruit in it.
But did you try tasting the actual pineapples that you guys kind of smoked?
I'm one of those guys. I taste everything. I put in everything. That's why we were talking about yeast. Like, I don't cook with anything that hasn't been in my mouth, even things like Vietnamese fish sauce, which is way too concentrated to put in your mouth. I still have to do it. When people give me a hop oil and say, let's try this, I literally put it in my tongue, and that screws up about 3 days of drinking.
How did the pineapples taste? It sounds like an interesting idea. I'd love to try it.
Yeah, you should. I was raised that way. I spent a lot of time in kitchens and stuff, and you should never put anything in a pot that you don't know exactly how it tastes. Things change.
Well, and it's
sorry, go on.
Oh no, I was going to mention that the pineapple flavor for me it's more of like that sweet part of the pineapple. It's not just from the hops. I don't know. Maybe that's my mind playing tricks on me. But
no, that would make sense just from the process, because the caramelization that happened in the burning was a concentration of sugars before it was put into ferment. Right. So those would be brulee sugars or Maillard sugars.
Yeah, it definitely has a cooked pineapple.
Yeah,
aroma, which you wouldn't get from hops, I don't think, necessarily.
Yeah, but like I said, if it works perfectly, to use a wine metaphor, I'm far more Burgundian than Bordelais. I'm much more interested in aromatics than flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You
lost everybody with that here, by the way. That's all right.
But I'm always kind of trying to build the finish more than the attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for all those beer, everything you have in front of you, I'm much more interested in what you think about it 20 minutes after you're done with it.
Interesting. Yeah. That'll stick around, man.
Yeah. Using the Kolsch yeast, are you guys doing a normal Kolsch fermentation profile, or what kind of temperatures are you guys using?
I would have to check what we did on that one, because we did it in Kentucky and then at our place, and we tried to match their system on ours. But when we do standard boat, we do about 64°C. It's not real hot.
All right, Scott, what are we drinking right now?
Well, I'm real stoked on this one. We just poured the regular coffee, which was very generously sent in by a listener of ours named Bob Hansen, Exit 16 Brewer. When he found out you were coming on the show, Augie, he got very excited, and he'd been saving a few. He said this was a very rare beer in New Jersey during the winter, but he scored himself four. He saved two and sent us the other two. He might be drinking them with us right now as I speak. He also sent the pork roll that you referenced on the can, fresh from the shelves of the New Jersey, the equivalent of Safeway out there. And JP, you said you were familiar with this reference, but you didn't know what it was till tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm a big Ween fan, and they're from they're Jersey boys, and so they have that song, Pork Roll, Egg, and Cheese on a Kaiser Bun.
This is the very pork roll
and
that
I'm
they're
like,
referring to.
Well, I thought it was,
do you take that
Chinese food.
I saw a picture of it before it shipped to you, and thank you, Bob, for sending it out to them. That's really cool of you. I'm actually out of it, or I could have sent it to you.
This is a big boy, 12%.
Yeah, there's a lot of coffee in there, too. I'm going to be up.
This is 12%?
It doesn't taste like 12%.
Absolutely not.
What are you guys?
I would like to try that.
Bev wants to try
just
a little bit.
Just a smidgen.
Saved you a sip.
Is this a Kolsch strain also, or what yeast are you using on this?
That's Chico.
Chico? Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about this beer, Augie, because I feel like there's a big story behind it.
There's not. That's what's so frustrating about regular coffee. I don't want to say that I'm not intrigued by coffee stouts. Right now I'm working on a coffee stout, but I'm adding a coffee that naturally tastes like cherries because of its fermentation to a Russian Imperial. I'm trying to make taste like cherries with malt and yeast selection.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find the commonality of the cherry flavors in both rather than the commonality of coffee flavors. And the reason I'm doing that is, although I understand why a lot of people go to coffee with the stout idea, I don't necessarily understand it, because a good stout can be made to taste like coffee without coffee.
Right.
And it comes along with a whole bunch of other flavors as well that you run over when you put coffee in it.
Yeah.
So you know, when you're new brewing, you're new in town, and the most popular beers in the world at the time are coffee stouts. I mean, our first year was the first year CBS was released in Jersey. So everybody would ask me about it. And I just wasn't super excited to add coffee to a stout. And then this occurred to me. So the Jerseyism, the joke of the name is when you're at a Dunkin' Donuts or a little deli, and I drink my coffee black. And when you're at a deli and you're like, give me a pork roll, egg and cheese on a roll and a coffee, and they say, how do you want your coffee? I'm 44 years old. I've never lived more than a mile from the deli that thinks regular coffee means milk and light and sweet.
Coffee regular,
light and sweet, baby.
But regular coffee means light and sweet, cream, two sugars. And, so you're in a rush for morning, you're late for your job, you get it, you're 5 miles down the road, you take a sip of that coffee, and it's really sweet and really creamy and not what you wanted when you ordered a regular coffee. And then you, of course, take the heat on yourself because you should know by now you're a grown man. And then you do see that it does work, right? Because I don't know if you fried up any of that pork roll. I believe you have Taylor's pork roll in front of you.
We do, yeah.
That's it. But no, we haven't cooked it yet.
They cut a little thick for my preference. And pork roll is an already cooked product, so you don't really need to brown it. I find you do better slicing thin and just frying the hell out of it real fast so you get some black on it. But it's this really salty, really unctuous, really rich dish. And the sugar works with that saltiness. So it doesn't not make sense flavor-wise. But So when that occurred to me, I was like, I'll make a coffee beer when we make a regular coffee beer. And then I was like, So then we immediately ran in and made a 12% cream ale. Now, it's been done at 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And it went to 12 because that's what sold that richness, that mouth sensation, that big mouth-filling creaminess.
Yeah.
But I think its original conception was like a 6.5% beer.
Are you getting that from lactose? Are you adding?
It's all of the above. It's richness and the warmth of the alcohol with a ton of lactose added and a ton of dextrose. The joke is two sugars, right? Mm-hmm. Lactose and dextrose.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And then it's just a pretty straightforward.
Doc's really enjoying it.
Doc loves that.
Yeah,
he's all about it.
It tastes like coffee regular. Coffee regular.
The problem comes about when it was a stump beer and it was meant to be funny, and we did want it to taste great. We wanted it to be fun, but what we'd done was play right into the hands of the milk stout guys, because what we'd done was give them a big, rich, super alcoholic, sweet beer with an easily identifiable flavor of coffee. And it became everybody's favorite beer of ours. And although I love it, it's nowhere near as hard and challenging to make regular coffee as it is to make boat beer. And I keep getting congratulated for regular coffee. And I'm like, I thought of that high one night.
Why is that? Why is this beer not as hard as boat beer?
It's just much more simpler flavors. To use a phrase I like to use about certain things like mosaic hops, it's slutty, right? It just wants to make everybody happy. It's big and rich and feels nice in your mouth.
Everybody knows you.
Aggressive and you can definitely pick out things like, so your guys' cans are about 4 months old now. We brewed it in December and canned it in January. I think that beer is much more interesting now. It's entering what I refer to as the secondary phase. But when it first comes out, what people love about it is a coffee, milk, sugar, beer flavor, right? It tastes like a beer, but it definitely has a milk flavor, a coffee flavor, and a sugar flavor.
Yes.
As it ages, if you hold on to one of those two cans for about a year or two, that all comes together to be like a Werther's Toffee.
Hmm.
And for me, it's already started that.
I could definitely see that.
So, but as that settles and they all integrate and the coffee doesn't jump out as much and it kind of settles into the milk, for me, that's when it gets really neat. Now, remember at the beginning of the story, I drink black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very sweet beer for me. I probably only have about six of those a year.
Yeah.
It's a new breakfast beer.
It's definitely great in the morning. The first event, the first time we brewed it, we did two different back-to-back events, one at 9 a.m. and one at 10:30 a.m. at two local liquor stores. And we served it with pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwiches. And by noon, I was in need of a cab. It was a very hard launch on me.
How do you add the coffee? It's got a really nice coffee flavor. And I don't know if you've said that.
So we have a neighbor across the street We have a neighbor across the street who I'm just absolutely in love with. They're called Fairmount Coffee Roasters, and they roast. They don't really brew coffee. But like any neighbors and any flavor creators, we spend a lot of time talking. The reason my Jurgachev beer has Jurgachev in it is because me and him talking about lemoniness and how to ferment to pull out that acidity. And when I got this beer in my head, I went to him and I was like, listen, I want it to be a really great version of a flat cup of coffee. So he sent me home with about a dozen cold brews to taste. I came back with the fact that I like the Chiapas for its bitterness. Mm-hmm. And the Sodomo for its lemoniness, and I wanted to accentuate those. So we did it again with a blend, but we over-roasted the Sodomo so it would be a little more bitter. We extended fermentation of the Ethiopian – I'm sorry, the other one, the Chiapas, so it would be more lemony. And then blended them together, did a twice-extracted cold brew, and then added that to the beer. If you have that clean, when we make the beer, he sells that coffee blend together for your home brewing. And it's a great coffee, but it is just kind of a glorified, super fresh, recently roasted version of a bitter, acidic diner cup of coffee, which is what we wanted.
What is it twice extracted?
So basically, it goes in right before the bright.
What does the twice extracted mean?
It's just how he brews it. It's his technique, so I don't want to talk about it much. But he basically does twice as much grounds to half the water for twice as long.
Okay.
I want to point out that Sergio from Melovino just texted me and said, I know you're taking that pork roll home. He said, put one in between some pancakes, and you've got the New Jersey breakfast of champions.
Actually, you know what a weird trick is with pork roll that I had to learn very late in life? First, you have to have it on a poppy seed hard roll with two hard fried eggs and a slice of American cheese, some ketchup, salt, and pepper. That's how it's done.
On a Kaiser roll. But, Ween, they're geniuses,
poppy
man.
Seed hard roll. But you need the poppy seeds because you find one in your tooth 4 hours later and you're reminded of how great breakfast was. If you don't have the seeds, you don't get that recurring theme.
Why would you?
The next one, and it's really weird, is if you fry it pretty black, which I like to do, and put it on an everything bagel with cream cheese, it's surprisingly good.
Oh.
Huh.
Hey, I know you guys can't get bagels out there, but we can probably
please. We have Noah's.
New York style. That's close enough for us.
Right.
What do you got there, Scott?
JP, read the ingredients of this pork roll.
Oh, pork roll. Okay, here we go. Pork, which is good. It's always good to have the name
one,
in the
right
first
out of
ingredient.
The box. Right.
Roll.
Salt, sugar, spices, which is awesome. Lactic acid starter culture, sodium nitrate.
I said it twice.
So, just in case you forgot. But
the second one has something to do with saltpeter.
Twice nitrated.
No, really.
It's something like that. It's some urban legend.
Wow. It's guess how many calories there are per serving in a pork roll.
How many serving?
One slice.
A serving is three slices.
So there's four in that pack. There's four slices.
Yeah. There's 2.5 servings per container.
Like 100 each.
200 calories.
Wow.
Yeah. 150 of which are from fat.
Everything is double.
When you
what you
see
think
how much food that is, you'll be shocked.
Can we just lick it?
There it is.
Oh wow, they are
pulled
pretty
it out of
thick,
the package.
Man.
I told you they're very thick.
I want to lick it.
It's basically speckled with white, and that's all fat.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's a good part.
Can we just put this in like the sandwich oven and just fry
get
these
the
all up?
Yeah, heat it. It does say it just says heat it and eat it on the package.
Yeah. I think it's a
thing and see what
it's cooked.
Tastes
you
like.
Can eat it like that, but you shouldn't.
It looks like spam.
I was introduced to fried spam in the Midwest, and it's actually pretty tasty.
So actually, that reminds me: is pork roll better or worse than what's that other East Coast?
Scrapple. Like
Scrapple, yes, thank you very much. Yeah. What's better?
Is Pennsylvania Dutch, not East Coast, but definitely it's common. The area common
the
to both is the Trenton area of New Jersey.
No.
Okay. Which is better?
Scrapple is basically after you've made sausage, you extend what's left with oats and spices.
Yeah.
Form it into a brick, slice it into squares, and fry it. And it's also awesome.
Yes, it is.
I think the difference is you would eat scrapple with runny eggs and pork roll with hard fried eggs.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
Breakfast
sounds real good.
Is Denny's open?
Scrapple's more like hash. Denny. This is more like fried spam.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Scrapple's basically blood sausage without the blood.
Perfect.
That's, yeah.
You had me a blood.
Let's take our pork roll over to Denny's and see if they can whip something up.
They have I guarantee they have the longest wait of the year today.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's right. make a grand slam out of this.
Hey, then,
it is literally, it should be called 420, Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Day.
Exactly.
That's good, Augie.
Hey, Augie, I don't want to forget to pay off the whole green apple thing and expound upon what we did before the break there.
Yeah, we're going to jump into the Tippy series right now.
Tippy.
Which is fascinating to me. So just going on your website, you can go to cartonbrewing.com and then go to the What's in the Tippy. So you have a tippy system from More Beer, right?
Yep. More Beer's tippy. It's we've already discussed the floor space limitations of the place.
Yeah.
But we needed something that was really dependable. And the best part about that system is we don't use the More Beer system necessarily as it was designed. But it's very versatile, so we can better match our actual process. We whirl off with it, and we do all kinds of things with it, and try to replicate. Basically, the difference is about 86-88% extraction versus 92-94.
Okay.
There's a learning curve there because with that sugar extraction, also flavor extraction. So we learned early that when we use things like Special B, the big system gets more of that figgy flavor out of B as well as more sugar out of B.
Hmm.
But that was, it's not a linear growth, but we learned that pretty quickly.
So
we've been talking about, we've basically been talking about our kind of well-known stock beers.
Yeah.
But what the fun of Carton, the reason it's great is when we really fool around. And we, like I said, we don't really make any style beers. So when we're coming up things with, like we do Orange Swisher, which is a deconstruction of a blunt. So it's a smoked porter with all the hops that smell like weed and a whole bunch of candied orange zest. And before that, we did a cherry version of that one. We do Carton Canyon, which is a 6.4% adjunct lager with blue agave nectar as the adjunct. We do Gilded Lily, which is a Belgian triple with white truffles. We do Gorp, which is a good old raisin and peanuts trail ale.
Yeah.
We do Tharsis, which is a chili saffron saison. We do
so
regular coffee. But basically, the way Carton works, the conceit we had was that when you commit like this, if your kid needs braces, you've got to go make a beer that'll pay the bills. So you have to make a 6% IPA, or you have to save money on your pail or whatever. So what we decided was Chris and I would keep our jobs. That way, if the brewery didn't get off to a great start and Jesse's kid needed braces, we'd be able to afford that without kind of having to do stuff we didn't want to do in the brewery.
Right.
So the business plan there was on every Sunday at noon, myself and one of my brewers get together and we work on a new recipe. So all those things I just told you about that we've now released to the public were brewed on that 20-gallon system some once, some 20 times. And then what we'll do is that produces, depending on how efficient we do, we get 2.5, 3.5 sixtils out of it. So we just throw them up into the tasting room on what the tippy knuckle is and kind of talk about what we're thinking about. And get the feedback from our community. We won't sell that beer in growlers or cans or anything. Obviously, it's just a taster we often just give away to talk to people about. But so right now, the beer we put out yesterday is called Tharsis, which is a Thai chili and saffron saison. And there's a couple of our real regular people who had it in a couple iterations last summer off the tippy, which were much hotter. But the objective with the beer was to study the kind of cleaning peppery effects of French saison yeast, and we felt that at any real measurable heat, it was running that over. We were flavoring the beer instead of studying the yeast. So after about 5 or 6 attempts, we dialed it to where I'm super, super happy with it, and you're not exactly sure where the yeast pepperiness ends and the chili pepperiness starts, but you know they're both going on, and you're not exactly sure where the saffron's doing its cleansing thing and where the yeast is doing its cleansing thing. And then we got lucky, and it was a 78-degree beautiful sunny day in the tasting room when we released it, and it was just the right spring beer for that. So, I mean, it's got this overwhelming love from everybody, and that's largely because of the work we did on the tippy.
I like looking through these come on, descriptions on your website. So you have basically notes, you know, for what's happened. So you got your oak smoked black lager. Again, in this version, we added debittered black malt to the malt bill and notched up the smoke wheat. So you kind of go through what you did and then what you've changed in it so fans like us can kind of follow along and see what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And it's you know, it's the give and take. I think it's fun. I like to treat the entire thing as a game we're playing. We're lucky enough to have the honor of being able to make pretty much anything we want, not being told what to do.
Yeah.
So the fun of that is interaction with the community that enjoys that part, right? There's a whole the community that's real mad that I don't make a bourbon barrel aged stout yet.
I'm pissed, personally.
Yeah. I'm getting to it.
Furious.
I'm getting to it.
God damn it, Augie.
I swear I will make an IPA this year.
Yeah, right.
Fermented inside individual apples.
Barrel aged some regular coffee.
We did. That's Irish coffee.
Oh, how was that?
We actually use spirals. It's a work in process. I'm very happy with it. My first joke, because again, it's weird to have this association to my own beer, but regular coffee is super creamy. So when I was picturing an Irish coffee version of it, I was picturing that really crappy glass cup of coffee you get at the end of a meal at a TGI Fridays, where they put a huge blob of whipped cream on it and drizzle creme de menthe on top so it's green. So what I did was soak a whole bunch of spirals in Jameson, split off a Grundy's worth, put the oak in there, and then a whole bunch of peppermint trying to recreate the creme de menthe.
Wow.
And it's a very cool, fun beer, but it's very pepperminty. So next time I play that game, I'll probably go more traditional Irish and put a lot more nutmeg in it and just a little peppermint. But I got to tell you, man, it tastes exactly like I wanted it to taste. And then I remembered that I don't like that coffee unless I'm drunk.
But to Scott's point about the green apple,
yes, please.
Sour.
Let's go back there.
Yeah. How do you do, you know, kind
some
of
part of this, and this might've just been my joy of torturing Jesse, but, Jesse and I would get our heads around a new idea. I would do things like, I think the three that were most frustrating for Jesse was the peanut beer. I wanted to do a trail mix, which was good old raisin and peanuts. The one you're talking about, which is wasabi and green apple, which is the deconstruction of a sorbet I was served as an intermezzo by a very talented chef named Paul Leibrandt. And then the other was when I wanted to put butter on squash for a ravioli deconstruction.
Wow. Butter and green apples.
Swear, these are all important dishes in my life that impressed me with flavors that I was fascinated to recreate. But for Jesse, they were the torture of the fact that I was going to make an apple-flavored beer, a butter-flavored beer, and a flavored beer. And I have the liberty of never... Like, I'm not a guy who cares about BJCP guidelines. I care about how well we recreate the flavor. I want all our beers to be beer first, but I want them to have these flavors. And if I could have figured out how to control diacetyl, I would have never needed to add butter to a beer. The truth is, diacetyl doesn't taste like butter. It tastes like butter tastes. Mm. So we needed to put actual butter in the beer. And the green apple is the same thing. The green apple... If you do a really nice, simple kettle sour on a Berliner down around 4 pH, 4.2 pH, that acidity is green apple acidity, right? Like the level of acidity your tongue knows isn't in pH, it's in acidic things, right? So it basically goes like lemon, green apple, you know, maybe lime, lemon, green apple, orange, right? That's what you perceive. And when your tongue gets those receptions, you're reminded of those flavors, even though they're not necessarily there. Mm-hmm. A very clean, good Berliner will remind you of somewhere between lemon and green apple. So dressing that with actual pureed French green apples, I'm 100% fine with. And when you write it on the can, you know, there's still the boobs out there that are style slaves that smell apple and get mad at it, but who cares? They were never going to be carton drinkers anyway.
Right. The boobs. You gotta please the boobs. Everyone's
I don't have to please them.
Well, no. That's true. I mean, you should.
Well, one pair of boobs.
I've found life is better if you please the boob.
You guys should just stop.
No, Bev, why don't you chime in with the boob talk?
Yeah, right. No,
you're the resident.
Actually,
on the show,
I'm not the resident boob.
But you're resident boob expert.
Douche. Yeah. I have a question from the chat. Actually,
please ask it, Beverly.
Yeah,
from Dakota Brewer, he says, "Since I quit.
I don't care. You're not my employee. Right,
yeah. Since you are near where Clerks was filmed, do you have any intention of doing a Clerks themed beer? How do you theme a beer after
a
movie?
Pork, garlic, and cheese. We already did it with regular coffee.
Yeah,
there you go.
You just, you make a beer for giant fat people who can't direct.
Empire friends. We went to different high schools down here the same year, and I've worked on a couple of his films. And I don't think I've ever done a better service to it. What the Clerk's idea of a beer would be than making a paper cup of coffee with a milk and two sugars in it. Like that beer's done. That's a wrap.
Pretty straight up.
Yeah. That's pretty done. Well, Augie, I think we're going to let you go, man. That's a lot of information, but I'd like to have you back on, Scott. I'd like to get Augie back on again because we have so much to cover with the essentially experimental brewing.
Yeah, no kidding. Series. I have like 10 more questions, but it's like 11:30 out there. So
yeah, I mean,
feel bad.
Pale ale with tomatoes, cucumbers, and salt, saffron, and chili.
That's panzanella.
I mean, so much. Just an entire show on that, using other
that
ingredients.
I can answer that one in two sentences. That's just the Summit hops taste like onion and garlic. And I know some people really like that. No. For me, it was out of place, and I wanted to make it be in place. And the place that onion and garlic works for me in the beer world is in a beer with a super light summer salad. So we just deconstructed a Tuscan panzanella salad and put a ton of Summit hops in it.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, simple as that.
All right, well, we don't need to get you back on then.
But the only place you can get these beers...
beers, man. I could do it shorter. I like to listen to myself talk, I guess.
The only place you can get the Tippy series is through the tap room. Or are you guys distributing
everything
these?
Everything we're talking about, we have released. But you got to understand how small we are. We did 3,000 barrels last year, and there are 7,000 liquor licenses in New Jersey.
Wow.
With 4 30 barrel fermenters, 3,000 is still moving pretty good.
Well, yeah? 3 30 barrel fermenters and 3 45s.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were still just at 3 30s and one.
That addition we planned for year five came month six.
Oh, okay.
So Warren's like, yeah, no, okay, so it's not that impressive.
Yeah,
never
mind.
You guys have some room to grow.
Definitely don't need to get you back on. Call us when you're big time.
Right, yeah, we'll talk in a few years.
Sure, when you're on Virgin Atlantic.
But thank you, guys. It was a pleasure. There's nothing I like better than talking about beer.
Awesome, man.
Where should people go to find you? Plug away.
Oh, that's nice of you. I'm so freaking horrible at that. all right, so Carton Brewing. Largely, we have a website which is being relaunched, so all of you that realize it's terrible, I'm working on it, I promise.
Thank God you said it, man.
I know. That's that same design person who didn't understand what the color orange was.
Right.
I promise you, there's a lot of things I wanted to do right after I figured out how to make enough beer, which I'm still doing. And then, so we have a Facebook page, which is probably the best place to keep up with information. It's just where we're best to treat ourselves. The Carton Brewing Twitter is largely just me, so that's at Carton Brewing. We do a podcast as well if you're ever bored and you want to listen to four drunks. It's called Steal This Beer, and it has all the right pages. And I can't think of anything else I should be saying, which means I will definitely get yelled at soon.
Probably. You need some sort of handler.
That's right. I need somebody that
I got some names.
Yeah, that knows our stuff. I guess I should just have a card, but I think if you just go to our Facebook page, that's good enough.
It's fine. It's the digital business card.
It's where we talk.
Right.
It's where you can definitely get me. When somebody's engaging you on Twitter or Facebook or Untappd, that's me.
That's you.
That's awesome. Me talking back to the people and telling them to sit down and shush.
Well, I do want to thank, in addition to Exit 16 Brewer, who sent us the regular coffee, I want to thank Casey Tapalian, who's was a listener of ours and a fanboy of yours, Augie, who hooked us up in the first place. So thanks, Casey. And thank you, Augie, for sending us these beers.
Hey, thank you, guys. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Augie. Talk to you later, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Augie Carton from Carton Brewing Company in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey.
I can see why they were recommended to us and why he has so many fanboys despite his small footprint.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fit in, I think, with our, ethos, I guess, of beer. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, but do it really well.
Yeah.
That's exactly. The thing. I mean, you can sit there and make, I mean, that regular coffee, it was a beer with milk and coffee and sugar in that order. And that's, I think, the way
paper
it should
paper
be.
Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the paper cup part of the end.
It should be beer first.
It tasted like a Winchell's donut thing where you're
paper
like,
cup.
Yeah.
You're like Styrofoam City, man.
Yes.
So should we fry up this pork roll at the break?
I'm ready for it.
Yeah,
I think we should do that.
We gotta have the egg.
Yeah.
Can you do that here?
You gotta have the egg.
No, yeah. No, we don't.
Where can we get some eggs?
Soft or hard? You gotta make it right.
You're right. All right. You guys want to come over after the show? I'll fry up some eggs so we can drink one of the Rare Barrel beers.
Because that's all that's left.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. All right, everyone. We're gonna take a break. We'll come back. We're gonna do some Drunk of the Week calls. We're gonna pick our NHC winner.
Beer news.
We're gonna do beer news. We're gonna do feedback. We're gonna do Twitter game. We're gonna do a whole bunch of stuff. Good. Anyway, it's the session, everyone. Stay tuned.
Did doctors have a seizure?
A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
If you don't know Yeast Man, you're missing out. White Labs Yeast Manager Yeast Man is available free to any brewer. Yeast Man is your direct link to White Labs yeast production facility. Yes, you can check yeast availability, and yes, you can place an order, but Yeast Man is much more. View yeast quality control and analytical reports. See your big QC day entries and reports. Get access to the entire White Labs catalog, specials on overruns of freshly made yeast, and customized options for your account. Yeast Man is the only real-time online ordering in the business connected directly to factory production. Yeast Man is always on and always live. It's the largest online marketplace for specialty brewers' yeast and related products. Visit yeastman.com today and tap directly into White Labs production facility. Gonna brew? Yeast Man to the rescue.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a Certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Adventures in Homebrewing have the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable two-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all-grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Homebrewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Homebrewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. Brewing Network listeners receive 10% off their homebrewing.org orders when they use coupon code IPA at checkout. See terms and conditions for full details.
You're listening to the Brewing Network, because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, thanks for hanging with us, everybody. It's the session here, live from Concord. The Hop Grenade. It's kind of bumping out there, man. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
For
sports.
A Monday.
Nice party.
Does everybody have to work tomorrow?
I do.
Yeah, I do, too.
Not early or anything. But...
Hey, Bev, do me a favor. Next time you get burritos, can you just meter them out to me one at a time instead of putting the entirety of all the burritos that exist in the studio in front of me? Because I ate two, and now I'm going to explode.
Wow, you powered through two of those?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm a big fat mess.
I like the way you put them out, though.
I am sorry that you don't have self-control.
I don't.
And yes, I will help you next time.
I really appreciate it.
It was really good, by the way.
Thank you, Doc.
That makes two of us.
That's why I can't have potato chips in the house. I run out of hand lotion too soon.
Cheetos.
It's just no self-control.
So gross. I don't want to know that. I was like, wait, what?
He's got orange hand lotion.
I don't understand.
His elbows are real soft.
He can't get out of the bathroom. His hands are so slippery.
Right. I get trapped in my room. I can't open the door.
Taryn!
Like 20 minutes.
Taryn! Gosh. That's gross.
What do you have, Beverly?
Our good friend he said that he is willing to call in and play his ukulele and sing "The Lion Sleeps" or "In the Jungle" or whatever that song is. To your outro, if that is something you would like, he will prepare it
instead of JP's an asshole.
Oh,
no, like Tiny Tim style.
I would just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have. As an outro, okay.
Yeah, as a bed.
Sure, maybe later on, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Ukulele.
Yeah, do it, Blobber.
What is with the ukulele being the new thing? Like, it's the new hipster.
Know.
It's the new twisted mustache.
Hipster. Yeah.
And that being said, I kind of want to play one.
Douche.
Well, I thought
you wanted to.
It makes a better backpack than a guitar. The guitar's too big.
And you have like the plastic strings and that wire, so you don't get callus eye or whatever.
In Hawaii, I rolled past this ukulele shop, and I didn't know they had that many ukuleles available to anybody.
What are they all tuned differently?
I thought they were all just crap, you know, made of cardboard. But no, but
that's a cultural instrument. How dare you?
Oh, and the ones that like way up there that you can't touch. Those are the expensive ones.
Yeah, we looked at them too.
To play those.
They're expensive.
I feel that's most of the ukuleles for you.
Yeah. No.
They're all top
shelf. Yeah,
right.
Mid shelf.
Oh, that's mean.
Who's not a finger thing?
I think that's why the United States bought Hawaii was for the ukulele.
For the ukulele.
Yeah.
We couldn't not buy it.
Right. Yeah.
We had to once we heard Tiny Tim. So speaking of weird things, Bevo is now into the fine art. The long-lost art of oil pulling.
It is a long-lost art. Yes, I am.
And so do you also believe that Bush planned 9/11, or is that... What is wrong with you? Tell me what's wrong with you.
Well, what is it?
Yeah, what is oil pulling?
Go ahead, Beverly.
I take a tablespoon full of either sesame oil or coconut oil, and I put it in my mouth, and I swish it around for 20 minutes, and it's supposed to remove stains and bacteria, and then I spit it out and brush my teeth with my homemade toothpaste.
What tastes better in your mouth?
And then not that.
And then you fluff your plucked chicken stuff.
Right.
What makes you think that you need to get rid of bacteria in your mouth? That's where they live. That's what they do.
I will have Sam send you the link, but as I told you before, it cures... diseases.
It's part of Santeria.
Mouth diseases.
Yeah. No, all kinds of diseases.
It's part of Santeria, isn't it?
Do you also...
I don't know what that means.
You're like, rolling chicken bones?
And, yeah.
Doc, is there any validity to swishing sesame oil in your mouth for 20 minutes to remove stains?
Hey, I don't give a shit what you do. Just get your teeth clean every 6 months. That's what I told her.
Well, no, because she thinks that you said, oh, that sounds great.
You know what? If you want to do it, it's not going to hurt anything.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
and
but
so
will
I,
it help is the
so
question.
So I sent her a link from Snopes.
Who's
which,
this going to help?
No, that because it,
no,
it, basically, said, it basically said it's not going to hurt anything. It's kind of benign in that matter.
Yeah.
But it's also not doing anything.
It's not doing anything.
And the only thing it's really doing is making fluid move in your mouth. Which will help remove, like, you know, plaque and whatever. So
possibly change the pH in there and help a few things. That's a bit at the best you're going
to get. Oh, I'm looking it up on Snopes,
yeah,
and awesome. It's unproven.
Right. Well, that's the article I sent Bev, and I go, did you read the article? And she goes, I scanned it. I'm like, why? Why are we doing these things?
Which article? Unproven is not false.
No, unproven is not false.
It's unproven.
Yeah.
It's unproven. Right.
So, again, hey, do whatever you want.
Scott, your computer is playing a stupid thing.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
It's an ad. God damn it, Snowball.
No, it's that live sex thing again.
Got to make money somehow.
Playing in the background.
I'm just saying, Pinterest totally backs my whatever it is.
Teeth pulling.
Oil pulling.
Yeah. See, that would probably do some good if you pulled some teeth out. It'd be less bacteria.
There's this whole kit that you can buy.
Of course there is.
It comes with a free pair of suspenders.
Shut up. Right. No, it comes with a...
And some land.
It comes with instructions on how to make your own apron.
No, what does it come with?
It just comes with individually packed packets, perfectly sized packets of oil for a month.
Oh, God.
Because you can't meter it out to yourself.
Right.
How do you know what size you need?
It's told me. And by it, I mean Pinterest.
Yep.
Oil pulling. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Of all the dumb things to believe in.
Or check the box.
Just
large,
eat your Kentucky
medium,
Fried Chicken slower
small.
So it lasts 20 minutes and it's the same thing.
Oil pulling.
At least it doesn't hurt.
Well,
a lot of stupid things people believe in. Actually,
it doesn't hurt, yeah. But I feel like it hurts the belief in a scientific structure.
It's not oil yanking.
It's a placebo. That's fine.
Right. I don't know. I still love you, Beverly. Pulling. I'm sorry. You're giving me the death stare.
Where did you come up with this?
No,
things?
I'm not.
Yeah.
And why do you believe in them?
The internet. I may or may not be slightly gullible.
You know, they took that word out of the dictionary last
what?
Year, right?
Shut up.
Yeah. Gullible.
Okay.
You've used that joke on
don't look
before.
It up. Just take his word for it.
It worked every
it.
Time.
Yeah, you fell for it twice.
I did.
Oil pulling might not work, but you know what does work? Beersmith. If you guys want to really dial up your recipe formulation and you know figure out how everything works for your brewing, how to make the best recipes, and then have kind of a library of all those recipes, check out Beersmith. Doc, you use Beersmith.
It's science.
Have you been brewing?
It's science.
See, yes. Beers, thank you. Beersmith is science.
Snopes.
Oil pulling is junk science.
See, that's why I back it.
Snopes says Beersmith is proven.
Proven. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Proven by the internet.
There you go.
That works.
You got that green dot.
What does Pinterest say?
I don't know. I'll look it up later.
It's against it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not organic
says
enough.
That oil pulling is history.
What is history?
It's
mean?
A long lost art.
Well, because it because
uh-huh. because
yeah,
people
so
are like this
bleeding
is,
people.
Yeah, this is like after 1,000 years, people in India are like, you know what doesn't
you
work?
Know what?
Right, exactly.
They don't drown witches yeah. anymore either.
Oil pulling.
Yeah,
maybe they should.
Bev's on her
so
phone.
So is a heliocentric man of the universe.
I'm doing two things at once.
Stop okay. it.
I had to put a beer on tap.
And pull some oil.
Well, while you're sitting there looking up how right or wrong I am about oil pulling, go check out Beersmith.
Yep.
They have a 21-day free trial, I believe. And see for yourself. It works. That's great. That's how you prove. That's called the scientific
method. And he gives updates, email updates. There's some cool newsletter kind of stuff he does.
Oh, yeah.
Just
got to stay in touch, man.
Exactly.
He's got a awesome. Podcast. He's got a lot of information. It's great. It's a great site.
If you're serious about brewing and you're not using Beersmith, you're not that serious about brewing.
No, you can't. And that is actually proven that you're not serious if you don't use
Beersmith. According to Snopes.
Scott, we got some beer news, right?
Yeah, we do.
All right. Beer news brought to you by the Wine and Hop Shop.
Yeah, new sponsor, wineandhop.com. Love those guys for bringing you this story to start.
No music, huh?
No. Because I need a consistent sponsor for just the news in order to create a new intro, and we're switching up the sponsors every week.
I have some. You want?
Yeah,
I'll
go
play
ahead.
Some music. Okay.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, you need to stop with the Greek music.
Yeah, this week's beer news brought to you by Broke Countries. Yes, Broke Countries. All right, Yingling has taken over Boston Beer Company as the number one craft brewery in the U.S.
What?
What a beer!
Isn't that insane?
That's insane because Sam Adams is insane.
Or... Wait, so went the headline. This was what wrangled me into this story.
Okay.
It's meant to misle readers, I guess. No, I don't know. Here's what really happened. Okay, the Brewers Association released their annual top list of 50 breweries per volume for 2014. So Sammy's been at the top of that list forever. But now, I guess the BA has decided to change the definition of a craft brewery. And that's really the headline here. Wow. It now includes brewers who use adjunct grains, like your corns and your rices, which, of course, is an ingredient Yingling uses. So it previously was not considered a craft brewery. Now it is. The BA did not release exact production numbers, but according to USA Today, Sammy shipped out 20% more volume than it did in 2013, and Yingling still surpassed them. So they're doing gangbuster sales, no matter how you look at
That's
it.
That's that Shandy.
I actually saw that list. I forgot. But, yeah, it was startling to see that. Like, where'd they come from?
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Well, they've been dominating the East Coast forever.
So it was just a matter of redefining what craft was.
I didn't catch why the BA decided to do that after all this time.
I didn't realize outside of the craft definition.
Yeah. Neither did I, because of their use of adjuncts, which I knew was part of it, which I never kind of understood. Like, why, you know, if craft beer is supposed to be envelope pushing and people can do whatever they want, it's a spirit of freedom, why don't you let people use whatever the hell they want to use?
That's a good question. Maybe they finally came to their senses then.
Yeah. Good.
Isn't sugar an adjunct? I mean, we make a lot of beer in the West here, and there's a lot of sugar.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Everything is an adjunct.
Yeah. Anything not grain.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, if you're on the East Coast and you're not already drinking Yingling, which is inconceivable based on its numbers,
right.
Maybe you should try them. They're a craft brewery.
Crack a lemon shandy and, you know, get with the times.
Indeed. Maybe you can crack a lemon shandy on
the
floor.
Pineapple shandy.
Or pineapple on the Oklahoma State House floor, where recently, just last week actually, they passed both SB 424, which is a bill that will now allow breweries to sell their own beer. Welcome to the 21st century, Oklahoma. And SB 383, which will allow cold sales of beer over 3.2% in liquor and grocery and convenience stores. So previously you couldn't sell ready-to-drink cold right off the shelf if it was over 3.2. So in other words, no beer.
Do they let you buy ice?
Yeah, I remember rolling into a place where they, you have craft beer in here, and you go in there, and it's all on pallets. It's
warm.
Yep. And there's all these Belgian cork things.
Yeah.
Not looking so good.
No.
Kept people from drinking on the way home. That was the motivation.
I suppose.
Yeah, the parking lot.
You know, in someone's mind, some legislature's mind, that's exactly what it is. It's
right.
Like, well, they're going to just put in a, they're just going to drink it, and that's terrible.
You got people going into your local Dollar General store to buy shaving lotion for a high. Of course they're going to drink it cold in the parking lot. Don't get too excited, though, you Oklahomans. Both the bills have to go to a conference, they call it there, get the details hashed out. The 424, the breweries can sell their own beer one. That's going to go to conference and then come back to both the Senate and the House for final votes. Then if it passes there, it'll go to the governor for her signature. And then 90 days after that, it would be law. So there's still some hoops to jump through.
Wow.
383, the other one, there's a lot of things that could change there. That legislation goes to conference, and that won't happen until the next legislative session. And then if it passes, it goes to a statewide vote, so all the people of Oklahoma get to vote on it, and that won't be till next year, till the next presidential election. But it could potentially, it's at least the first step on the way to some positive changes for breweries and beer consumers in Oklahoma.
Her signature?
Yeah, governor is a chick.
What is the world coming to? First of all, brewers are going to allow to sell their own beers. And second of all, women are now governing things.
Yeah, up is down, left is right. I don't know where I'm moving.
More to hell.
All right. Couple more. Here's a huge, speaking of blobber glop, this is the biggest Ontario beer headline since the repeal of Prohibition. Big news. Canada's largest province has announced that it will partly open its beer retailing system, which is dominated by three of the world's largest breweries for the last 88 years, in fact. It's been a brewer's retail, which is a conglomerate of AB InBev, Molson Coors, and Sapporo. Craft breweries up in Canada have said that brewer's retail unsurprisingly favors its own brands and excludes the competition. There's 466 shops that this the beer store is what they're called. And they're often Spartan inside. The shelves are empty. They keep beer out of sight in warehouses. Customers up there say it's like shopping in the old Soviet Union. It's a weird thing if you've ever been into a beer store up there.
It sounds weird just thinking about that.
It's real weird. It's like the bodega scene in Half-Baked, you know? Just a 420 reference for you guys. The only other beer retailers in the province are government-owned liquor stores, and they have been barred through an agreement with Brewers Retailer from selling packages bigger than six-packs.
Wow.
So changes for Ontario, they don't go as far as other provinces have, particularly in neighboring Quebec, where beer is widely available in corner stores and supermarkets as well as the government-run liquor stores. Ontario will allow about a third of its 1,500 largest supermarkets to sell beer by the end of 2015. They will not, however, be permitted to offer anything larger than six packs. So you're still going to have only one packaging option.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One pack.
Interesting.
Some of the government liquor stores will start carrying larger package sizes and offering online sales with delivery. So still big changes, even though it's, you know, it's limiting on one hand, but it's a big step up in the other.
I wonder why, what the reasoning behind, you know, limiting these things or changing it, but just in small sections. Why not just go, hey, the rest of the world pretty much operates this way. Let's do this. I mean, I know it ultimately comes down to money, but that I feel like it's kind of a weak argument.
Wait, so you can log on to a Canadian government website, order beer, and have it delivered to your house?
As a part of these changes, yes, you'll be able to.
Wow.
I know, it's a very weird leap they're taking.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Right.
They are progressive in some way.
Canada isn't that awful, it turns out.
Yeah.
And you can get as many six-packs as you want.
Yeah, it's not
you can
like
buy 100 six-packs.
You want a 48-pack.
Right.
You just want a 48-pack.
Exactly.
All right, Obama, you listening? I want a six-pack at 805 and a six-pack of Pale 31.
Because it's healthy.
Yeah, because it's government certified.
And Blobber will have something to say about where he lives.
I'm sure. Here's one that JP brought
it's
to my
nice.
Attention. Before the show,
yeah.
The Oregon Environmental Quality Control Commission has voted to let one brewery use water recycled from sewage to brew its beer.
And make cheese.
The brewery is Oregon Brew Crew. They'll be supplied by Clean Water Services, which is a utility with a sophisticated treatment process that turns sewage into drinking quality water. The batches of beer made from the recycled water would be served at events, not sold at the brewery, which it's a weird distinction there. Like if you want to, if you want to buy kegs for your wedding, by all means, but you can't go to the brewery and drink
it and try it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Now,
make sure the same person's not drinking it, so much of it yes. that they get sick.
There's still one hurdle to anyone actually wanting to try one of these sewage beers. The state recycled water reuse regulations must be amended to include human consumption. So they got to do a little state language tinkering before it's actually going to be allowed. But it's
sure.
I mean, it's right around the corner. The Oregon Health Authority has already approved Clean Water Services' request to provide water for beer, citing the high quality of the treated water, additional microbial reduction in the brewing process, and low overall health risk, they say. Recycled
low.
It's low. No, he said lower.
Oh.
Well under 20%.
Right.
Well under.
Right.
Oil pulling
right.
will keep you healthy.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because that's how I read deeper in the article. That's actually how they process this water. They just dump a bunch of oil in it, swish it around for 20 minutes.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah.
Is there something
brushing
about
your teeth? Yeah.
I understand. I'm for that.
They use a lot of clay and baking soda also.
Yeah, they do.
Recycled sewage water is already used in some cases to spread on crops for irrigation as well as for recharging groundwater. But this is the first time that any state has considered allowing this stuff to be repurposed for human consumption. So really blazing a new trail up there in Oregon. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it really makes me want to buy that beer.
Yeah,
Doug, if I go into your office in a year and you recommend oil pulling, I think I might kill you.
Well, I'm thinking of only if I can water it down with sewage water.
Sewage water that's been treated with oil.
Didn't we
that's a real story,
talk about something like this, something similar to this not too long ago about a guy who was...
Yes,
I think he brought up the notion of people. Why don't we do that? But it wasn't in Arizona or something.
I feel like he made something, and like people were all up in arms about it. But it was just
he was a homebrewer, right?
Yeah,
and he was like a water quality engineer as his day job, and he decided to make a Hefeweizen with this water because his point was like, look, you can make this water be chemically nothing. There's nothing there. You can you can treat it to the point where it's indistinguishable from
we just
RO
have to
water.
Get over it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Make a brown ale.
Gross.
Yeah.
No one will ever know.
Yeah.
Right. I know beer is already yellow and brown. What's
brown
the problem
ale?
Here? Oh.
Ew.
All right. One last one here.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you guys are aware that Ninkasi has been dabbling in kind of a space program. Their goal, they started this last year, their goal was to send a payload of brewer's yeast into space and bring it back to Earth.
Okay.
Now, the result, they have a beer now, Ground Control. an imperial stout with hazelnuts, star anise, and cocoa nibs. It's fermented with some of this well-traveled yeast. So they launched the first rocket in July 2014 out of the Black Rock Desert in Nevada. Doc, you're home away from home. It had built packaging so that the yeast would survive 12 hours at 108 degrees. But the yeast was discovered 27 days later, 9 miles from its intended landing site, and it was long gone. But then in October, Ninkasi tried a second launch with help from commercial space flight firm UP Aerospace. The rocket was sent 77 and change miles into space, floated above the atmosphere for about 4 minutes, and then fell back to Earth. And this time, the 6 vials of yeast were retrieved by a U.S. Army helicopter at great cost to the taxpayers, I'm sure, and transported back to Ninkasi's lab, where it was tested and brewed into the first beer made from yeast that traveled to space and back. It doesn't really do much to the yeast, actually. Jamie Floyd, our friend there, head of Ninkasi, he said the space yeast performed the same as its earthly counterparts. You know, yeast can only survive in a very narrow range of temperatures. So sending into space and back is no small feat, even if, I mean, the whole feat was that it didn't change in the process, you know.
Yeah.
Ninkasi itself spent about $80,000 on this project. And it's believe it or not, it's not even the first beer with ingredients from space made available to the general public. Sapporo did this in 2009. They brewed a beer with space barley that had been kept in it had been kept in space for 5 months.
Sounds like a high school band.
Well, no, if Ninkasi dorky. Just cut out a little bit, like half their swag, that's $80,000.
Yeah. What is the carbon footprint of all of this space ingredients that we're using?
And the whole point is that nothing changed.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, no, yeah. He sent
congratulations.
Up,
oh, no, they sent
a smile sample. On their face.
He sent a yeast sample into space. I'm sure it's under normal atmospheric pressure. It's not like space.
Oh, right. Yeah, they can't let it be. It's only G.
All it really experiences is it has no gravity.
That's it.
Right. That's all it would have changed.
That is all.
I bet they love that.
So like Kate Upton.
Those yeast cells were lazy as shit.
Right. No, they're like Kate Upton.
It's like being in a... Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where to flock right now.
Oh, up man. Or down.
Yeah. Of course it didn't change shit.
Right. It started evolving.
Way to go, Jamie.
It started oil pulling. It was amazing.
You bursted our bubble. Fine.
Oh, brother.
I'm sure it was Jamie's idea. He's like, you know what we
should
need
have
to do?
Said, man, that beer was so much better.
Right.
Wish we could slant that shit.
Yeah, like make a pale ale and just tell everyone like it's one malt, one hop, but it's space yeast, and you can taste
exactly.
The difference.
Exactly, it's made a big difference.
$80 a bottle.
There you go.
No.
And more swag.
I'm making that up. No. Although the Sapporo one was $80 a bottle, and they had to sell it through a lottery system because it was more demand than supply. So if that's any sort of precedent, then Ninkasi has struck gold.
Didn't Dogfish Head do something like that? They took like a moon rock and ground it up and put it in some sort of like...
Sounds very dogfishy.
Yeah. What? Like a meteorite thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't a moon rock then. That's sacrilege. You don't do that shit.
I don't know what's happening right now.
All you want.
I'm very confused.
Doc's nerd is showing is what's happening right now.
Well, there you go. That's the
Doc's getting threatening. His eyes are glazed over, and he's just staring at me.
I'm tearing up.
That is the end of a very weird news segment brought to you by WineAndHopShop.com. New sponsors, WineAndHop.com. They are a locally owned homebrew shop there in Madison, Wisconsin. If you live up there, go shop at them. And if you don't, order online your next equipment or ingredient order. They have a ton of pro brewers on the staff, 50 years of brewing experience. And you get $8 flat rate shipping, BN listeners, on orders under 50 pounds if you enter a BN shipping in the notes field of the shopping cart.
Nice.
So support those who support us, wineandhop.com.
That's awesome. You know what's coming up pretty quickly, actually, is the Sam Adams Long Shot competition. Some of us might be more familiar about that competition than others.
Yeah, baby.
Mike McDowell. I was actually talking about Beverly.
Roll my theme song.
Yep.
Here, I got your theme song right here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so the Sam Adams. Are you going to enter that again, Tacey, or are you not?
No, I only want to win that once. That'd be stupid to do it twice. Yeah.
Can you enter it more
Rodney.
Than once?
I don't know.
They might not let you.
No, you can.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not?
What the hell?
A Chicago homebrewer who moved to Oregon. I can't mention his name because he's already got a head like big as a balloon. he won it twice.
Wow.
He won and he entered again.
Did he change his name?
It might have been back to back.
You mean the guy that you just mentioned 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, I didn't mention his name though, did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Right. Well,
yeah. As you know, Sam Adams has been hosting the Long Shot competition for almost 20 years, which is pretty rad.
Yeah.
So this year is a battle of the East versus West. which I would like to talk about. I think that's pretty cool. One creative homebrew chosen from each side of the Mississippi. If you want to learn more about the Sam Adams Long Shot competition, and of course, to enter, because why wouldn't you, go to samueladams.com/longshot. The window for entry is May 1st to May 16th. Top finalists, of course, as you know, Tasty, will win a trip to the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, where the ultimate winners will be announced with a very nice luncheon.
Limo at the airport.
Limo at the airport.
Yeah, this is a huge prize.
So you had like a card that said, did it say Tasty or did it say Mr. McDowell? Because it was back when you were a little more humble.
I forget.
No? Okay.
I don't know.
No. What did they send a town
what
car?
About the brewers in the north? I think it was a town car.
Well, this year it's going to be an Uber.
How many Biggie Tupac names do you think there are going to be? East, West? Battle?
Aaron Balake.
I don't even know where to go with those references, Beverly. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
JP, what is the cost
I appreciated
enter?
That, Doc.
Isn't it free?
It is free. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I thought I needed a second.
Thanks
opinion.
For bringing it up. Yeah. It is free.
Don't you also win a lot of money if you?
You win $5,000 in cash.
I can show you a canceled check. Yeah, I got a picture of the thing. That's great.
You didn't cash it. You just go. No, I can't. Yeah, I can't take this money.
Yeah, was it one of those?
What am I going to do with $5,000?
So you get a trip to the GABF.
Apparently,
a limo at the airport. You get a big fat check to cash, and more importantly, your beer is released in a variety pack that's distributed nationally.
If ever there was a homebrew contest to enter, this is the one.
This is the one.
Hookers for the weekend?
Whatever you want.
$5,000. You do whatever you want.
There's a strip club right next to the GBF, man. Lord. Go check it out.
It is Denver.
You could earn
a spot on the Brewing Network.
This is
We'll interview the hell out of you.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, I also want to point out that when I was talking to Michelle over there, who's organizing us doing these reads for them, and she went, you guys, Tasty's on your show, right? She went, I'm Tasty approved.
She is.
Said, wow, man.
Does she know what that means?
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you.
She's proud of that.
She is proud of that.
Yeah.
Someone has to be warned. Okay, let's do some feedback.
Really?
Let's do some feedback.
Finally?
But I don't have feedback music.
Right now?
Why?
Do I? I don't know. Because it's not in here. Is it in here?
Are you sure you can't find any?
You've got
Can you throw something up there?
Yeah, okay. Anything.
Nah,
I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's like JP's an asshole.
He never migrated the intro.
How's Blobber doing
on
his music?
JP's an asshole.
Are you saying that or are you singing it? Because
I'm just singing it.
Oh, okay. Well, you can say
I don't know the rest of the words. I just like hum along after that.
I don't think there are words. This is brought to you by Beer Law Center. You can go check out John, our buddy John Sinsmakasatanst at Beer Law Center. Check out beerlawcenter.com. He protects our trademark, the Hop Grenade, because you guys have been, the B&R Army have been, checking that out for us and making sure that no one's ripping it off, man. And then John comes in with a bow, get out of here, girl.
Is JP trademarked?
JP is not trademarked.
I better talk to John about that one.
Think I could? You think?
Do you think?
I don't know.
John, JP, trademark this. Now.
That's the exact conversation we're going to have. And he's going to go,
better be because someone else is going to get it. And you're
I heard people referring to John Palmer as JP of the CBC. And
he's rock candy.
Don't even get me that.
I was hearing, JP's here. I was like, no, he's not. He's not up here.
You know
like,
how many
John Palmer.
You know how many emails I used to get like in the first few years? People going, oh, dude, I love your book. Thank you. You're like a homebrewing god. And I'm going, huh?
Just be like, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Right. Oh, you thought they were talking about your book of poems.
Right, yeah. How'd you read my journal?
You're just a book away from being famous.
That's true. I already have the crowd base, man. They think I'm someone else. And then it was John Plisse, and it's a whole thing.
How to brew once in a while, you call it beer. Well,
how to brew and leave it in carboys for 8 years.
Time to get new letters.
New letters?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Doc. I'll just go by Doc. This one is from Michael.
You don't deserve three letters.
I don't. He says, watch out! I don't listen to your commercials anymore. Watch out! I listen to the podcast, but I skip right past them fucks. Watch out! Can you guess why? Watch out! That was pretty funny. Michael, whatever, dude.
That was it?
That was it.
I don't understand why he skips past them.
Then you will never get it.
Oh, because he skipped through his whole thing.
Yeah.
What?
What?
Have you tried oil pulling? It might pull your thoughts down. Brian writes, hey guys, really enjoyed listening to you guys. Just a little miffed at the shrugging off of some amazing IPAs you guys tried from the East Coast. Just seems like you're a little biased to West Coast IPAs, but maybe your palate is used to that dry finish. But I really believe that the East Coast has it down when it comes to IPA. It's not that it's sweet, it's just more full-bodied, which can match beautifully to hops when done right. I feel Vermont is where it's at with beer in this country. A large statement, by the way. Hill Farmstead is by far the best brewery in the whole world right now. All of his hoppy beers finish higher than most West Coast IPAs, and there's no loss of flavor or overabundance of sweetness, just beautifully balanced beer. I live on the East Coast, not far from Vermont, so maybe I'm a little biased, but you guys need to give a little more love and respect to some East Coast breweries, specifically Vermont. To me, there isn't really an East Coast, West Coast thing anymore. Well, I don't know. The IPA is changing and rebalancing itself to lean more towards softer bitterness and a ton more hop flavor and aroma. Is he right about that, Tasty?
Hello? Well, on the West, here, what we've gone to is drying the beer out more to accentuate the hop flavor and aroma.
Yeah.
So it's all about attenuation.
But, I mean,
our beers are said to be drier,
yeah,
more hop forward, but it's more about we just go for more attenuation.
And I would say even in general, using less crystal malt.
Yeah,
yeah, East Coast. That to me is the differentiation point between East and West, is we don't really use a lot of crystal malt, if any.
Well, and we were judging these things, and we're on the West Coast, and we didn't get them all so fresh.
Well, they could have, yeah. Some of the hops could have dropped out. Yeah.
And they could have been warm or whatever.
Well,
they
sat in our glasses for 20 minutes before we got around to trying them. So that was,
did they sit in Moscow's refrigerator?
I'm surprised they made it out of Moscow's refrigerator. You got to count your blessings.
Okay. Well, I get the intent of the feedback. And
yeah, do you think we shrugged them off? I mean,
I personally have no bias. I mean, if I had a...
Yeah, I don't.
An IP in front of me, and I don't care where it's from.
I just like them both.
Yeah. I would, you know.
Yeah.
If I don't like it, I don't like it.
I mean, we have a listener in here. Can we listen to him?
Sure.
Give him a microphone.
But none of the East Coast beers, were they like bad? They're on his.
I liked Four Pours IPA, and they're even farther away than the East Coast.
Four
Pure, sorry.
It's okay. Yeah,
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself if you're going to speak.
Hey, Andy from Wisconsin.
Andy, thanks for joining us.
Perfect,
man.
Wisconsin. So what's your take?
So you're right in the middle. You're no man's land for the East versus West showdown.
Unbiased, right here.
Tupac
right.
or Biggie? Go.
Tupac.
They both suck. No, that's the wrong answer.
Just
like IPAs.
Right, like
no one cares
pot.
Is the right answer.
What do you think? Least or West for IPAs?
Least.
Least.
Oh, I go with the West Coast, probably.
See? There you go.
Burn.
All right, it's settled.
Yeah,
it's
take settled. That, Brian.
Yeah,
you
jerk.
Tupac is still alive.
There's your answer.
But I mean Vermont.
He's driving Elvis around.
He's hanging with Bush, planning the next 9/11.
Right.
Do you think Tupac oil pulled?
Most likely.
He got pulled on, I tell you that. Dan Ragnabok Bergendahl from Southern Maryland writes, just wanted to congratulate Doc on a fantastic throwback episode a couple of weeks ago. The session shows have been great lately, but it was awesome to get some in-depth beer info from Doc and the gang, old school style. Thanks again. Cheers.
Yeah, that's the Stuck Fermentation show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of email from that. Everyone loved it.
Yeah, thanks.
Good work, buddy.
I knew we were going to do it. It just got thrown together a little quicker than I thought it was going to.
Yeah,
all the information was there, so it was like, oh, we'll do it. I was like, can you do it today?
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Sure,
why not?
About 3:40 p.m.
I'm Doc. I can do whatever I want.
Can you fuck up a beer again soon so we can have another good show, please?
Okay.
Okay.
Done. This one is from, I didn't get his name. That's stupid. Mystery Man says, I was listening to the 4/6/2015 episode of The Session, and someone sent feedback asking about brewing a beer for their yet-to-be-born granddaughter. Justin rightfully berated the caller for being a typical silly home brewer. And then he says, sorry for the harsh words, Grandpa. Jay and Chad were talking on the Sour Hour about how Brett continues to scavenge for oxygen and prevent autolysis. Maybe Grandpa can bottle condition the barley wine with Brett. I know it's losing a battle at 21 years, but this might buy him a little more time. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks so much for everything you do. You guys have been helping me and the rest of the Army brew better beer for almost 10 years now. Keep up the good work. JP for Nobel Laureate 2015. P.S. I found out I just got two sours through to the second round of the Nationals.
Nice.
Thanks, Brewcasters. Well, congratulations on that. I don't know, Doc, barley wine with Brett? Let me think. Bad idea or worse idea?
The Brett would be gone, wouldn't it? He's just saying to...
Well...
I would keep going until there's some sort of... Then the Brett can't eat sugar.
You can't... Okay, you can just make barley wine better. Any way you do it. So, yeah, throw some Brett in there.
Yeah?
I don't like barley.
Well, I'm not a...
Great. Good answer.
I'm not a Brett expert, but it seems like the Brett would have a lot of work to do Would go after it and do it.
Brett barley wine.
Wouldn't it take all that sweetness out?
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Become like hop
take my sweetness.
Leave
please.
Some weirdness, man.
Well, I guess if Grandpa's insisting on doing that anyway, right. Might as well, why not? Give it a try.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, 21 years, it's not like he's going to have a great beer
it's
left
gonna
anyway.
Suck no matter what.
Yeah, so why not? Give it a shot.
Yeah.
I was really excited at the end of that sentence.
I know. That's what I was waiting for. In 21 years, Grandpa's not going to
be around.
Well, I didn't want to be mean, so I was just trying to.
If you're even there to share it with her in the first place.
I was not implying that at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, start oil pulling now because you want to survive.
You should. You'll feel fantastic.
What's Grandpa's girlfriend look like?
Dave writes, "Hey, ass munchers. Heading out your way for NHC and was hoping you could bullshit for a few minutes on must-see beer spots in the general 100 miles radius area. Cheers and fuck it, Dave."
Oh man!
So a 100 mile radius,
San Diego
from. I don't know. He's very unclear.
Well, he wants
about
to go to Mexico, doesn't he?
Well, let's answer both questions.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know many in San Diego. I would say Google it. I have no idea. But here you
some classes,
come here and go to the Rare Barrel. That's it. Next question.
You just got to go up to the brewery from San Diego. Is that what we're talking about?
Up to Orange County.
Yeah, up to Orange County.
That's more than 100 miles away.
No, it's 90.
Society, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
It's 90.
It's under 100, for sure.
Yes.
No.
L.A. from San Diego is under 100?
No, no, no. Yeah. Orange County,
Orange
where the brewery's
County.
At. Placentia.
Orange, not L.A. Placenta. Orange County, yeah.
Placentia?
Placentia.
Yeah. What's placenta?
That's
something,
thing
too,
is
isn't
left
it?
Over
that's
when
something
you have
different.
That is a thing. It's 95.2 miles.
There you go. Wow.
I said 95.
An hour and a half this year.
Yes. Yeah, society,
yeah,
for sure.
Society, definitely. Yeah, that's
society,
for sure.
Yeah, you got a lot of things.
Ballast Point.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Star World Bistro.
There's apps you can pull down that have you can map.
We
out.
Don't know. Yeah, so, I mean, we just know from being beer fans. So if you Google it, you're going to find much better.
If you ask for the top 5% of the.
I guess, yeah, but I don't know. I haven't been in any of these places, so I can't necessarily recommend
it. Is it St. Archer? Are they in San Diego?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe they
to
are.
Me, Southern California
I believe
is just
they
one
are.
Spot.
They are fantastic.
Yeah, anything south of the Grapevine is
right.
Fair game.
Yeah.
So
I would pick your friends where they live, and then about 5 miles from where each friend lives,
find a spot.
That's the places you're going to go.
That's pretty good. That's good advice from Dave.
Bevo's right. St. Archer's down there too.
They're fantastic.
Alpine. Alpine's another really good one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. And then up here,
there won't
know,
be
man.
Enough Google time it. To hit them all, sure. So don't even try.
As long as you go to the Rare Barrel up here, you're fine. Okay? And there's other places, but there's not that many, so you know.
And that's under 500 miles.
A couple shows ago, we talked about a bunch of areas to hit up here because somebody asked. They're making a road trip up here. So yeah.
Anchor, Magnolia, Russian River.
Yep. I think
Google.
Rare Barrel's 528.
Or Bing it.
That's yeah.
Or right? You could ask Jeeves.
But that guy's a dick. He's a little snotty.
All right.
Flo writes and he goes, first of all, thank you. I'm 23 and roughly 4 months into working at Bear Republic, just up north here. And I swear throughout these past few months, any existential crises, how the fuck do you pluralize crisis, he says, have been quelled by the BN cast holes. Okay. I listen to you guys as I clean out tanks of Racer 5 yeast and centrifuge that and other ales into other tanks or whatever. I don't know. I'm a centrifuge cellar boy. Today's Wednesday. Last Monday, 2 days ago, you interviewed Four Pure. Tonight, I got to go to Bear's Pub and meet Dan and discuss your interview with him, as well as the craft beer scene in London, and even which hop dominated in their pale ale. Because of you guys, I had an invaluable experience tonight, and again, I thank you. Justin, you are a sage, but not smart. There's a difference. Tasty, thank you for it. Apparently you did something he says, JP, not sure why everyone hates you yet, but I'm sure I'll get there.
Aw.
Aww. Suck a dick. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. People are just going to hate. Haters be hating.
Hate.
Saying?
Don't be
haters
hating.
Haters go hate.
Beardy, mostly shut your face before I... fuck it.
What?
Yeah, that's what he says. But even more, mostly, I just can't grow a beard. Thank you so much. I look forward to hassling you when I start my own brewery someday. Flo. Oh, that was very nice. This one is from Dave. He says, I was listening to an older podcast from 8/11/2013. He says, on the beer news, there was the subject brought up of a wild blueberry lager copying the branding of Flying Dog. And I vaguely remember this story, too. When I was 21, I bought some Wild Blue, which was next to the Flying Dog beer. I thought they were the same brand, too, and haven't bought any Flying Dog in 4 years.
Wow.
Because Wild Blue sucked that hard. Also, what's so
he made a mistake.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Marketplace confusion happens. Yeah. I didn't think it was possible, but also, what's up with all the off weeks? Here we go again. Pretty soon, you're only going to be doing a couple, 2-3 episodes a year. I'm on to you guys, damn communists. Anyway, thanks for the great shows.
There's 3 shows a month, baby. 3 shows a month. It has never changed.
Ever, ever.
3 sessions.
Well, then maybe not 3 in a row.
3 a month.
Yeah. So,
some months have 5 Mondays, so that means 2 off weeks.
Wait, can you go over that again?
No.
I'm writing.
Oh,
it's
some months.
It's common
some
have
months.
Have exactly.
5 this one's Mondays. From Peter. He says, dear Brewcasters, I have to write in to defend Nicole, which is the first defense of Nicole email we got. She got drunk on the air and was loud. Big fucking deal. At least she doesn't try to wedge her political agenda into every segment like that Sean Hannity impersonator Scott. Peter.
All right.
Oh my God, he just shut up.
Is he high? All Nicole does is wedge her political agenda into things. It's just he agrees with Nicole, so therefore he doesn't hear it.
Thanks, Sean.
You're a dumbass, man. Pay attention.
Yeah, Peter. Anyway, yeah.
Don't so be that, sad, Peter.
That's it. I had to, you know, it's funny. This one is from Rich. He says, hey, Brewcasters, I'm an East Coast listener from the great state of Rhode Island. Well, I don't know about it. So
it's great.
And I'm listening to last week's podcast and was very saddened to hear you guys shit all over 2 of our best IPAs, namely Heady Topper and Sip of Sunshine. I've always said I wanted you guys to sample more stuff from the East Coast, but now that I just listened to you guys essentially mercy flush these 2 fantastic beers, I feel defeated. What more can we now offer you guys if these 2 beers aren't good enough? Well, I'll be honest with you. If that's the best that you got, you're not doing a whole lot.
Well, you know, we brush our teeth. We brush our teeth with Blind Pig.
Right.
Give us a break.
We pig pull.
Yeah.
We take some Blind Pig and then we swish it really for 20 minutes. Yeah. And,
it's not mercy flush. It's courtesy flush.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, the East Coast, maybe they're used to drinking worse beer than us. So they do have a mercy flush rule.
All right, fine.
Yeah. He goes on to say, I can't help but wonder if you guys hated the beers because you just don't like the style, what with the higher percentage of crystal malt present. Well, that was, I think, part of our issue.
No,
with
no,
it.
We've no, moved over things. To really dry, low crystal malt, crystal IPAs. Yeah.
Having had both beers numerous times myself, I struggle to listen to anybody say they dislike it. Well, you just need to get a opinion door that swings both ways, man. I'm not going to say you guys are wrong.
Thanks.
Yeah, considering most of you likely have way better palates than I do, but can you at least throw the East Coast a bone? This is where it gets good. By saying that those beers are at least exceptional for their style.
What?
He basically just
the
wants
being East Coast
right. a compliment wrapped up in a bow stuck on it and just delivered it.
We can have our opinions as long as you say, but there's someone else out there that might like it.
We've had East Coast people here who have brought decent beer. Decent IP, Wicked Weed. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
They're from the East Coast, right?
That's
North
East,
Carolina.
Right?
Yeah, sure, man.
That's Eastish.
Yeah.
It's East.
Actually, they're beyond Hawaii. That's how West they really are.
But they also say that that beer is a West Coast style. So
whatever.
They're kind of trying to.
Can we just do
whatever is?
They know where good IPAs are, and so they're making.
What
like
I mean, what I thought, I don't know. Heady Topper was oniony and not very good. I didn't like it, and so I'm not going to pull a punch and say that this beer is exceptional for the style when I thought it was kind of out of balance and cloudy.
Can we just do a Tosh and do a redemption thing and fly his ass out here?
The guy who sent us those beers?
The guy who was just dissing on this.
My favorite IPA is Two Hearted from Bell's, and that's got some pretty good crystal malt character compared to a lot of West Coast beers out here. So I'm not totally biased against any use of crystal malt, so I can dig on those styles.
Yeah?
If they're good.
But you can pick up what they're putting down?
You can definitely taste the attenuation in that beer as well, right? You can. Until it's nice and dry.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's a telling sign that most IPAs are coming out as West Coast style IPAs. I mean, West Coast defined the style. East Coast has a different version of the style, but it's still different from what we have out here. And in my opinion, even though I dislike the style greatly, our IPAs are better because they're drier. They don't have that crystal malt thing. And so what I don't understand about this feedback, it's like, well, maybe you just don't like the style with the crystal malt. Well, that was part of the... that was part of it. But, like, so what, if you take out the flaws, then we're going to love it? Okay, sure, maybe.
Well, I find the whole thing like... that the West Coast could be better in some way. There's no secrets. I mean, if they wanted to make a, you know, they could make the beers we like there, right?
Yeah.
It's just they don't. They
well, like, yeah, we had them from Carton. So I mean, those are pretty good IPAs.
To me, it's more about taste.
Although,
yeah, although, it's personal preference.
Yeah,
I guess kind of what they're saying. Maybe what they're saying is that like the English IPAs are a certain style, and so we're not going to taste an English IPA on the show and be like, oh, there's no grapefruit character in this English IPA, so it's not very good.
Right.
But the kind of the American IPA is kind of a BJCP style. There's not an East Coast IPA and a West Coast IPA BJCP style. And so...
I'm sure there will be at some point.
Right. And so because of that, maybe that's what all these guys on the East Coast are feeling like. We're just judging it based on our...
I feel like they're assuming that we're just... shitting on it because it's not, you know, Pliny, and that's not true. We know.
Well, me and JP just hate that stuff.
But we sat there and we dissected it. And
we did. We tried every one of them, and we're just like.
I mean, if your beer's cloudy, I'm going to tell you it's cloudy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it tastes cloudy.
Last one from Kevin. He says, "Dear asshats, including Bevo, usually
I'm excused from the asshattery.
Exempt. Hey,
guess
we're
what?
All about equality here.
Yeah. Just want to tell you that I've entered the NHC for the first time, and out of four of my entries, my Doppelbach placed third in the first round and is advancing to the finals under the Brewing Network club name, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's like 3 or 4 points or something.
Now I want to know.
Thanks so much for all the years of great information. You guys deserve a lot of credit for improving both my brewing processes and motivation to brew as much as I do. I got my score sheets back recently. I was hoping you could make a PSA to any judges listening. They use the checklist-style score sheets for the contest, and the feedback form leaves a lot to be desired in most cases. While high scores and placing is awesome, it's not why I enter contests. I want to improve my beer. If you're going to dock points for my score, that's fine. Just fucking tell me why so I can tell me why you docked points so I can make it better next time. That's the whole goddamn point, isn't it? This guy's pissed.
He makes a great point.
It's not untrue.
On a lot of my sheets, the checkboxes seem to line up well with the guidelines, yada, yada, yada. I know these guys are volunteers, and I appreciate their time, but it's frustrating to send out your beer and get unhelpful score sheets back. Sorry for the rant. Yours emotionally, Kevin.
I relate completely because you look sometimes on Yelp, and the Hop Grenade will have a review from someone who basically compliments the decor, the staff, the beer. It's all fantastic, and it's a 3-star rating.
Right.
Like, what? What am I supposed to do now? How do I know how to improve? And why? I don't get it.
No. Ratings. I hate rating sites. It's the same way for beer, too. It's like, this was cloudy, 5 stars. What? I don't understand. It's sometimes the opposite.
I lived for rating sites.
I love rating in general.
I know.
More like on Tinder. But,
or just on your own.
Have you started Tinder yet? Have you started that account?
No.
Didn't we talk to you about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your handle?
I looked into it.
What's your handle on it? Come on.
I haven't looked that far.
Come on, what
into
is it?
It?
Yeah. What is it? Doc McStuffins?
Time for your checkup. Doc McStuffins is a kid's, it's a kid's show. That's the theme song.
We're going to take a break, everyone. When we come back,
is the best part. It's okay if you giggle. It'll only
do. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have Drug of the Week. NHE phone calls back after this.
Listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
There's a little black dog starts hard to blow.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high-temperature March pump, and either a top-tier gas burner or the new Boil Coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your Brew Easy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The Brew Easy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your Brew Easy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new Brew Easy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new Brew Easy. A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP and the internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
BN Army, I'm here to talk seriously for a second. You all are partially responsible for something explosive, and it's time you answer for it.
Moonlight Meadery is exploding.
Yeah, exploding across the country. Wait, they just landed in Australia with insane quality meads.
With nearly 70 different varieties of mead on the market, Moonlight Meadery has blown up the mead category and completely reinvented it.
Seriously? What?
Seriously.
What?
You're paying money for that watered-down mead when you could have a Moonlight Mead?
Moonlight Meads explode with quality and flavor.
They're a party in a bottle.
Did someone say party?
If you want mead and want the best, you want meads from Moonlight Meadery and will accept nothing less.
And now get 15% off by going to moonlightmeadery.com/BNArmy and use coupon code BNArmy at checkout.
Hey, sign me up for that party.
Attention homebrewers, if you like making labels for your handcrafted awesomeness and wish more people could see how great you are, then check this out. GrogTag, the makers of custom reusable labels, and craftbeerandbrewing.com are hosting the first ever National Homebrew Label Awards. The top 10 labels will be featured at the 2015 National Homebrewers Conference in San Diego to more than 5,000 attendees, and more than $2,500 in prizes will be awarded. If you've created a label at any time in the past year, you're eligible to enter. GrogTag and Craft Beer and Brewing have teamed up with great sponsors like More Beer and the Brewing Network to make this competition a great one to enter. Submit your entries between March 1st and June 1st for your chance at fortune and glory at homebrewlabelawards.com. That's homebrewlabelawards.com. Submit your label entries today. Good luck, and we'll see you in San Diego.
Segmented, demented, fermented.
Fermented.
It's the session.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. We got one final break, and then we're out of here. Hey, Bev, I have a question for you.
I have an answer, maybe.
Are you getting enough?
Probably.
Oh, you finally... didn't she ask
we
why we didn't
this
ask
last
her?
Time.
Yeah, well, no, she said we don't ask her, so
well,
now you're asking her.
To be honest...
I don't listen to what she asks.
Can you ever really get enough?
I don't know. Well, that's a good question. I bet you'd love more, right?
Always.
You know, you'd better hope that Sam doesn't hear this.
Right,
he's asleep. Fine. Okay. Yeah. He's not listening to this.
Well, good for you then. AdamandEve.com wants to give you more, Beverly, with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her.
Ooh, that would be me.
That'd be you.
Second, a specially selected toy for him, which is probably your neighbor or something.
But still for you.
And a third little something we know you'll both enjoy.
Still for you.
Which for Sam is probably sleeping pills, and you, a warmed up car on the corner.
Which is me, a 24 hour
a new
Roswell
Atari game.
Marathon.
You would watch Roswell. Plus, you'll get 6 full length adult DVD movies, which is probably the only time you'll ever hear the words full length in a sentence referring
you
to Sam.
Roswell.
And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So, what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts, Beverly? It's not that hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one That's item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code BNARMY at checkout. You'll get all 10 free gifts. Go to adamandeve.com, BNARMY at checkout. Bam. There you go. That's it.
Bam.
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 Okay, what do we have here? We have... So, NHC winner voicemail, Scott.
Yeah, well, we're going to determine who the winner is.
That's right. So, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me get through a couple of quick mentions here.
Okay.
The first is the Steel City Brewers competition. They wanted me to mention that it's the second annual competition. It's coming up June 6th. You can email comp at Steel City Brewers, STEEL, steelcitybrewers.com, and it'll take place during the Boats, Bands, and Barbecue Festival. And American and summer styles of BJCP categories will be accepted to complement the barbecue. So if you're in the neighborhood, enter the Steel City Homebrewing Competition. And the other thing is, if you're a local here in the Bay Area, here just locally in Concord, the third annual Art, Wine, and Beer Walk is coming up Saturday, May 9th. It's going to be right here in Todos Santos Plaza. The Hop Grenade will be one of the stops. You can see some awesome art and drink wine and drink beer, of course. And that goes to help the scholarships for local girls and women to keep them interested in math and engineering, which, of course, being a Sean Hannity impersonator, I'm against.
Right.
But everyone else is for it, so go ahead and support them by attending the Art, Wine, and Beer Walk. All right, so this is kind of big because we're going to give away a pass to NHC.
That's
a free
right.
pass.
Yeah, from who? Who are you giving
free
away from?
Ryan.
Right now? Justin's going to
That's just for
that.
Us, right?
This is courtesy of the AHA, right?
Courtesy of the AHA.
Yeah.
This is amazing. So, what, last show that we had, we asked people to call in and give us their finest pitch. Why should we send you to the NHC? And so how many calls do we have?
I think we had a whole bunch to get through. So let's do it quickly. I think we got one to about 9 of them. And everyone here made a pretty good case.
So we're, 9 are the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, these are the best of the best. So,
yes.
All right, let's run through them, Scotty.
Hey, guys. It's Brandon Zetti, the metal guy, calling to tell you a sad story to try to win a trip to San Diego for the conference. So in 2013, when I started homebrewing, I wanted to go to the NHC in Philly. And ended up not being able to. My mom got a serious infection in her leg. They had to remove her knee. And she was out of work for about 20 weeks. So I did my best to work overtime and everything to help my parents out, give them a bunch of money for bills and stuff to make sure that my family was going to be all right. Fast forward to 2014, Michigan, NHC. I had my wedding that year that me and my fiance at the time had to save a lot of money for. So I kind of screwed that stuff up. A couple months after the wedding, everything's going great, and my mom gets another infection in her leg. Again, a lot of bills, a lot of things piled up, and I had to help them all with that, too. And also, coupled with that, my sister's boyfriend bailed on her in Florida, and I had to spend a decent amount of my tax return to bring her home. So I guess the conclusion, I suppose, is that I just keep running into a lot of money issues, which obviously isn't your guys' problem. But at this rate, I don't think I'm ever going to make it to the NHC. So I was really hoping to try to win it here. And the saddest of all things is that I live in Wisconsin, and it's winter 11 months out of the year here. And I'd like to get into the sunshine.
All right, there you go. That's our Song of the Year winner.
That's right.
From last year, Brandon Zetti's.
Okay.
And he's all about that guy.
With a real sob story there.
Very good. Next one.
Hi, Brewcasters. My name's Brian. I was calling in for two things. First thing is you should pick me for the conference because, well, my fiance just broke up with me and I have all this money that I want to spend on drinking really good beer. This is my first time calling in, but I've been listening to your podcast now for probably about 4 months. I've been brewing for about 8 months, so I really think you should pick me because I have all this money and I just want to get out and have a good time. Thing to second, I think Nicole is getting a lot of shit for the Pizza Port episode. She's just having a good time and being a fun girl, so Don't give her shit for that. Yeah, my name's Brian, and you should pick me.
There you go. That's Brian from Boston.
Okay.
You sound like he's from Boston.
And I kind of want to interview him. Like, whose fiance breaks up with him?
Well, you notice he got into brewing about 8 months ago. And now his fiance's broken up with him. So,
You got some time left.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
Right.
He should go so he can hang with Nicole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's not engaged.
No.
Well,
they got some time too.
That's no. Yeah. I mean, that's no fine finality. If he's any example,
it's
engaged.
True.
Engaged. All right. Here's Dustin from Riverside.
Yeah, this is Dustin. I'll call for a couple of reasons. Number one, I had to drink an extra lot tonight because turns out the Kings kind of suck and they lost to the stupid Edmonton Oilers.
That sucked.
And number two, trying to get some tickets to the RA ticket to the thing down in San Diego. The conference.
That thing.
And Scott, Dr. Scott, Dad, if I can call you that. I miss you.
What?
And I really want to get down there to see you. And that's why I think this falls more under option number three for support. But
He's referring to when you can pick leave one for drunk of the week,
the phone
two
tree?
For three for support. So that this falls more under support.
Okay.
But I wanna see you. I don't know if you remember Cindy. Circa summer 1973. There's some dental conference or something. But
Cindy.
Whatever. Bygones are bygones.
Oh, I remember.
I really want to get down to the conference.
Maybe
Play a game of catch. Let's do that.
What?
I miss you. I love you. Dad.
Did you say Dad?
Dad.
Don't,
he says Cindy from that conference back in 73.
73.
This is your long-lost son, Doc.
No, he said right. The dental conference.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Some dental conference or something.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember Cindy?
Yeah. She lives outside of West Virginia.
He wants to play catch. I love that.
Yeah, just a little catch. Come on, Dad.
My notes for this one is just going to say Doc's son.
Super. She's going to go to the NHC conference today.
That's kind of
creepy.
This
is more under three for support.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I was 14 in 73, so it could have been summer camp, and I didn't know a Cindy.
You called summer camp dental conference?
He did, not me.
You know.
Well, it depends on what you mean by dental.
Yeah. Right. Fleshy. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Just to break up the weirdness, here's Grodd.
Hello. This is Gregory. I'll be at NHC. So I don't need a ticket from anyone else. Thank you.
Grodd doesn't need a ticket.
I love the birds in the
back. Yeah, what if he wins?
Yeah, this is how it started. Where is he, in an atrium?
Right, yeah.
Jesus.
What, is it all like that back there?
I love
Grodd.
Is that the Sydney Zoo? Right.
It's snake.
Yeah, there's that much wildlife in there?
I guess so. All right, here's Jacob from Cincinnati.
This is Jacob from Cincinnati. I called a few weeks ago, and I talked to Nicole. And Nicole said that if I ever made it to NHC, she'd give me a hug. And I think that's a good reason to win the tickets to NHC, because Nicole will give me a hug, and I want a hug from Nicole. I'm drinking, and the second reason, I felt that I needed to call Drunk of the Week and win the prize at the same time. So I'm going for both right now. And the second reason is, the only reason I'd be able to go to NHC is if I got free tickets. That's what my wife said. And she said, if I got the tickets, I could go out there. But I fly out there, and so I stay out there, and if I won tickets. Bevo, you're the best. Justin,
thanks.
I listen to everything you say.
JP,
suck a dick.
Right.
Moscow, don't ever read poetry again. I love you, Doc and Tasty. Peace.
Oh.
There you go.
I'll fly out there. I'll stay out there.
I got tickets. I'm never going back home.
All right. Here is Justin from Livermore.
Hey, guys. This is Justin, Butch and Brew in the forum. Hey, I really would like to go to my first NHC this year.
I'm not going to be able to go unless I win. My wife will not let me out of the house, so please help me get out of the hellhole that is Vacaville, at least for a couple of days this summer. Please, thanks, bye.
Vacaville. I love the theme of guys' wives. They're just like, it's home is a prison, basically.
You need to marry nicer women.
You'll find out soon, guys.
Oh, there's other ways out.
Powdered drugs.
Here is Mike from San Diego.
Hey, this is Mike from San Diego. You need to give me the pass to the NHC. Here's a sob story. I came home the other night from work at 2 a.m., and my dog had explosive diarrhea shit all over my bed. Also, my doctor said I can't drink for the next, like, month and a half because it's exacerbating a heart condition that I have. Also, I live in San Diego, so you're basically obligated to give me this pass. Call me with my pass at the...
And then he gave out his phone number, so I cut that out.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's still there.
What happened?
No, I dropped it.
No, no.
Oh,
quiet.
Okay.
086.
Okay, good.
And he dropped it.
I was like, I don't know. You didn't drop anything.
Oh, please.
But, come on. Give the numbers. Very good.
All right, okay. Couple more. Here is Nick.
Hello, my name's Nick. First up, I want to thank you guys for everything you do. I have entered 12 contests that never scored below a 38 and got second at Indiana Brewers Cup. But I am calling to tell you why I think I deserve a ticket. And the reason is, my wife is 5'7", blonde hair, blue eyes, has the measurements of Jessica Biel. I will send you pictures. Thank you.
I don't know who Jessica Biel is.
Compelling case he
makes. Are we giving her the pass?
Yeah, who are we sending the pass?
I don't understand.
If there's only one pass, she goes.
Here is Ryan.
I'm going for not drunk of the week, but... the American Homebrewers Conference in San Diego.
So, do we want to eliminate him just right now because he called it the American Homebrewers Conference?
That's not even
the
name.
Isn't that what it is?
You want to let
national?
National.
Well, national.
But he said drunk of the week first, so he is drunk.
He said not drunk of the week.
Oh, not.
Yeah,
oh.
I'm not calling for that. What I'm calling for is...
Well, I think he's too drunk.
I think he's fine.
I think
keep him
going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've ignored all kinds of other shit.
Anyways, here's my sob story. We had this trip where we're going down to San Diego, and I was planning to buy some tickets for AHC. But I can't because I can't afford it because my wife got pregnant. And I was like, okay, I'm still in the ballpark. And then we figured out it's twins. So it was like,
oh, man.
Shit, I definitely can't afford it now. So there's my sob story. I'm going to be down there anyways. I'm planning to be at the BNA 10, I hope. I think I can afford that, but there's no way I can afford all the other stuff. Anyways, my name is Ryan. I live in Walnut Creek, and I'm drinking homebrew. Woo! I sound great, don't I? All right. Bye.
And the last one is from the guy who serenaded us on the Drunk of the Week line, Scotty B.
Okay, so this time I ain't going to sing, and I apparently sickened you with my drunken serenade. It's me, Scotty B, calling again. I just want to get tickets to NHC, and more importantly, to BNA 10. So this is why you should give me this privilege, this honor, is because, like you, I'm awesome. I really am. I've been a fan for only a couple of years, but I've been on Dr. Homebrew a couple times. I frequent the Hop Grenade more times than I could count, and I live 200 miles away. I've met my gay lover, Nico Lukoff, there. Just kidding. He's not really my gay lover.
He's someone's.
But everything else is on the level. It's true. And while I'm not singing you a drunken serenade, I'm still kind of drunk, I must admit. So pick me, Scotty B, for NHC. I'm sounding like Dr. Seuss on the loose, and I'll suck your dick.
There you go. Those are your contestants for the free pass to NHC.
Well, that was amazing. I don't know. How do you top those?
You don't.
No, you don't. Well, let's run through them real fast, I guess. Brendan, he has a no knee mommy and a moneyless family. That was his sob story. His family essentially hates him.
He did write us a bunch of songs, so he gets credit for that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
He has he's been trying to go consistently, and things that are outside of his control are preventing him from going. That's what I got from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he should stop those things.
Well, but I mean, welcome to the fucking universe, dude.
He gets a free, I give him free beer, you know, tips and shit.
Brian,
consolation prizes. Yeah.
Brian's fiance broke up with him. I think that's pretty. That's a sob story.
No, I like that one.
But he said he had a lot of money to spend on beer, which means he has a lot of money to buy a ticket.
That's why he doesn't get my vote.
And buy me beer there. So I don't get him
because he's not spending on her.
Yeah, he had it set aside for, like, you know, the wedding or whatever. Now
he could buy himself a ticket to NHC. Then. Yeah.
Well, but he spent it all on beer to drown his sorrow.
He said he has a bunch to spend there.
Oh, so then should we eliminate him?
Well, yes. Why? Just because he can afford it?
No.
Yeah.
No, I feel sorry because he lost his fiance.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not part of it. Just because you can't afford it doesn't mean you... Yeah.
Dustin's a Kings fan.
He's got my vote.
And he's Doc's long-lost son.
Oh, my God. That guy was amazing.
From Cindy.
He was really broken up that the Oilers beat the Kings, so I'm definitely voting for him.
Then we had Grodd, who doesn't even need a ticket, so, of course... A grandstanding Australian. Jacob wants a hug from Nicole. That's why he wants to go. Justin hates his wife.
Overrated.
Mike's dog had explosive diarrhea all over his bed, and he has a lame heart.
And he lives in San Diego.
I feel like maybe he shouldn't go if he has a drinking problem that's exacerbating a heart problem.
You know, that's not a bad idea. We don't want to kill anyone.
Right.
Mainly because we won't be on the air when it happens.
We won't have any medical equipment on site.
As long as his drinking problem doesn't make his dog have diarrhea.
If I see somebody get defibrillated on this trip, it'd be amazing.
I'll do it.
Nick is drinking shitty homebrew.
He has a hot wife.
And he said, we'll send hot pics of his wife.
The tall blondie
one.
So
that's not bad.
He should have already sent that.
Yeah, that
would have gone a long way.
That would have been better.
And Jessica Biel just had a baby, so what kind of measurements are we talking about?
I don't know who she is.
I'm sure pre-baby.
She's married to Justin Timberlake.
My kid just said that, and I was appalled.
She's the brunette from Seventh Heaven.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
She was in that, was she in Blade or...
I don't
Blade
know.
Trinity or something? I don't know.
What was that other movie? Yeah,
she's with Adam Sandler and the...
There's another movie. She was, like, pretty hot.
Come on, she's really hot.
I'm sure she is.
She's a butterface.
She's married to Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Just saying.
Beverly, keeping women down since 2005.
Yeah, go watch Glenn Beck.
Don't call her a pair of boobs, though.
Right.
Shut up, Lauren.
We had Ryan with a pregnant wife, and then he found out that he had twins, and that's going to cost a lot of cash. But he's already going to be in a 10. Scotty B, who said that he's basically awesome, but he also wanted tickets to BNA 10. Are we giving away bigots to TNA 10?
I think Justin said that is a package deal.
Included.
Oh, God. Really?
This is a lot of responsibility.
Because you're afraid that you're going to have to hang out with someone else you don't like?
I like everybody.
Now you don't want to hang out with your son?
Right.
I'm not bringing him.
So who are we eliminating?
We have everybody get to be an A10.
Just to prime us for the vote, you want to hear an awesome Drunk of the Week call from Stinger, and then we'll vote.
Another one?
Yeah.
No, that's too confusing.
No, it's good. Although we might want to give it to him after this.
What's up, Ash Hat and Bevo? Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
Stinger checking in from the Dirty Jurors. Hey, McDowell, put down the goddamn phone already. That little trollop with daddy issues can wait. This shit's fucking important, kid. Hey, Justin, if you ever need Tasty to contribute more to the show, just cut off his fucking thumbs already. You dumbasses who call in on the Drunk of the Week hotline, better start bringing your fucking A game. Last week's shit was fucking pathetic. I take 1 week off, and look what happens. One fucktard's tickling balls. The other one sings a fucking Bette Midler song. Really? The both of you should go and jump in front of a fucking bus. Oh, and look at the BN circle of life. Doc's about to end a marriage, and JP's about to start one. Both are ultimately nothing more than lessons in futility. Doc's going to give her half of his shit, which is a lot. And JP is going to give her half of his. Whatever. Stinger out. Yup. Oh, and shut the fuck up, Beardy.
There you go. I love it. That's a Drunk of the Week call.
Dirty Jerk.
The New Jersey theme of the show. Yeah. I had to play it. You know.
I mean, you know, he just sits and he writes this out. And it's basically like the Angry Jamil emails of old.
It's good stuff.
Remember when Angry Jamil used to write in?
The guy had it going.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's kill a few people here, man. Let's give this shit away.
So we went through them all again, huh?
Yeah, we went through them all again.
Which ones did we get the most attention?
I think Scotty B can kind of just get cut, right? What do you think? Because he's awesome. He didn't really give us a good descriptor.
Well, he's been supportive. He's been on Dr. Homebrew. He's been on the Hop Grenade.
Whatever.
All right. Whatever.
What do you guys think?
Compelling counter-argument.
No one's going to say anything, I'm just going to
cut
hates
people.
I like a guy with a hot wife, 5'7".
Okay, well, you want to keep him in?
I don't know if I like that yet.
What was Ryan's selling point?
Ryan was that his wife is pregnant with twins.
That's a good one.
But I feel bad for him, so...
Yeah. Okay, wait. He called it a soft story. His wife got pregnant. She didn't do it on her own, dummy.
Well, no, but the twins thing...
Well, we're not sure
really,
he had anything to do with it.
Turn for the worse.
I do love the passive tense. My wife got pregnant.
Yeah.
The milk spilled.
Right.
He's already going to be an A-10.
No, right. He hopes
no,
he
wants
get
to.
There.
No, he's already going, he says.
No.
No, he's already going.
He's already going.
I think he had got it. He's down there for some other event.
He said, I can afford to go to BNA 10, so I will be there.
Well, he said, I'm going to BNA 10, so at least I can afford that.
Is he the one that said, well, I can get down there because I can get down there and stay?
That was Justin with the mean wife.
Okay.
I think we can bounce Jacob, who wants a hug from Nicole.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Like, that wasn't very...
Because you can get that anywhere.
Right, just show up here. Or
on
Drake's.
On her birthday.
Yeah.
You know, Bev brought up a good point about Mike with the explosive dog diarrhea and the lame heart. Are we trying to kill people?
It's a liability.
Right, I feel like we should be responsible and not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
Well, we don't have a disclaimer, but there are disclaimers out there.
It's like the military. You got to hide that shit.
Mike's out.
Doc messaged me. Not Doc. Grodd messaged me just to let me know that he has no memory of making that phone call.
What, did he say where he was? Where was he standing?
Let me ask.
He's back in the running.
It's a bird sanctuary.
So we want to keep Nick with the hot wife picks, right?
I guess.
There's no pick.
It's all.
Well, he
all
said
words.
He said if he won, he would.
Yeah,
so
that's not good enough.
You want to kill him?
Yeah,
yes.
He's out.
Right. I'm with.
Yeah,
Moscow.
More like here's my wife. Can I win? Then I'm listening.
You should have sent them in the beginning.
You're in a competition.
Okay, so it's down to Brandon with the no knee mommy, Brian with the fiance breakup, Dustin is Doc's long lost son and a Kings fan. So that's a double strike.
He's my vote all the way.
Justin hates his wife and wants to get out. And then Ryan has the two buns in the oven.
I think Justin with the mean wife can be eliminated. That's your choice, buddy.
Okay.
Right.
I agree.
It wasn't an arranged marriage.
You know, I'll eliminate the mean wife every time.
So now we're down to four.
Unless you hire it out.
Ryan, Dustin, Brian, and Brendan. How are
put it to a vote.
I feel like...
We're down to three. We can vote.
We're down to four.
We're at four. No, we need to eliminate one more, I think.
All right.
Let's get rid of Ryan with the twins. He's already going to be an A-10. Who gives a shit?
Well, no, he said he could.
No, he's going. Will you stop it?
Well,
confusing
then he needs to go to NHC.
Shut the fuck up, Beardy.
This is his last chance for fun.
I'm cutting because fuck that guy.
All right, well...
Well, he's done then.
All right, so Brendan, Brian, and Dustin.
Okay.
Put it to a vote.
All right, let's put it to a vote. Who wants to vote for Brendan, who has his mom without a knee, his money hates him, his family hates him, his family has no money.
And he writes songs.
Okay, so Brendan's basically out.
There's only two people.
That's not going to do anything. Brian, whose fiance broke up with him.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Just one.
So he's basically out too. Dustin, who's Doc's long lost son, and from Cindy, you got three votes. Well, then it's Dustin.
Yeah,
there you go,
Dustin.
Congratulations, Dustin.
Doc's son has won a ticket.
I can't wait to meet
NHC.
I can't wait to hear all the people going, "That's bullshit, man."
I can't wait to meet you.
That was the most entertaining case. I'm Doc's long lost son.
Yeah,
and the King's lost. You're the winner.
Okay, let's do DOTW, dude, and get
out.
I
thought we just did.
Well, we got one more. Here's
Derek. I think Grodd did because he didn't think he called it.
Yeah, let's count Grodd. Right. We'll count Grodd as Drunk of the Week. And then here's Derek.
This is Derek from Wausau, Wisconsin. And a stripper just wore a BN hat that I just received for her set. And they wouldn't let me take a picture. and my friend Scott is dying next to me from from large erection tumescence.
What?
The end for life.
So I think he called from the strip club.
It sounds like he did, yeah.
What is he saying? The stripper was wearing a BN hat?
Wearing the BN hat.
It sounds like she took his hat and went on stage, but he wasn't allowed to take a photo. Picture, right? And then his friend next to him was dying from large erections.
So what song do you think she was dancing to?
Oh, God.
You can leave your hat on?
Yeah, I don't know. Some Kendrick Lamar song, I'm sure.
We need a real hotline, because, I mean, I would have said, like, $100, you go back, get the picture, and a half and half.
He would have had his head caved in.
Right. He wouldn't be alive still.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And, so we had him and Stinger.
Stinger insulted everybody. Derek called from a strip club, and Grodd forgot that he called from a bird sanctuary. So there you go.
I vote the strip club guy.
That's a good one. Stinger's was solid. There's going to be some sound.
Anything strip club guy? Who wants to vote strip club guy?
I'll vote for him too.
There you go.
Yeah, that's unanimous. You're at a strip club, and you think of us.
There we go.
That's a winner right there.
Oh shit! We got Twitter game.
JP didn't like Stinger because it was too scripted.
Bev, do you have any more Twitter things?
That's it.
So they're in two emails, or are they in one email?
They're in two emails.
Hi, Bev.
I love you, Beverly.
Sorry, bro. I sent them to you a while ago.
Sure did.
I can't see them.
There was a girl at Sassy's up in Portland that wore a CBC tag. Took one off of a guy.
Of course you did.
Where'd she wear it?
Where did she wear it? Oh, around her neck, like normal people. Right.
Yeah. Like a human.
Yeah, right.
Which is weird.
Like normal people.
Yeah.
So, let's see, our Twitter game. Who is our Twitter game brought to us by, Scott? Do you remember? Adventures in Homebrewing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There
check out the
AdventuresInHomebrewing.org.
At Adventures in Homebrewing. So I want to know what weird exotic disease is Justin bringing back from the unexplored realms called Hawaii? Bless you.
Excuse me, sorry.
Bud Molyneux says an infection from getting his nutsack tattooed like a Hawaiian hop grenade.
Oh. Ouch.
That's bizarre. Justin Baldwin just simply says a wife. Reginald says germophobia. Oh, wait. Well, Bev, you're terrible at this. Half Monk says dock itch. I don't even know what that means.
What? Kind of jock itch.
No. Scott Pierre says Hawaiian MRSA, like mainland MRSA, except it turns your flesh into spam instead of rancid decay.
All right.
It's kind of the same thing.
These are terrible. Chris Rogers says another round of MRSA, but in a more sensual place due to banging far too many dudes while drinking margarita. What the fuck is this? Bev, I love your guts.
She tried.
She screens emails like she screens phone calls. They all get through.
None of these are good. No one wins.
All right, no winner.
They're terrible.
The wife was the best one.
Whoever wrote that in, a wife. Yay! Yeah. Oh, and then Blobber wants to call. Jeez. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I just want to go home.
He's got a ukulele. Right, well, come on.
This is the end.
It's 4 in the morning or whatever it is.
All right, how am I going to do
end
this?
Is near.
Blobby.
Hey, Blobby.
Hello.
Blobber.
Hello.
Hi, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah. I'm doing
great. All right. So you picked up the ukulele.
Yeah. Wow. I'm doing just fine.
And the ukulele seems like the instrument farthest from rural Canada that you could possibly get.
JP, you'll understand. The ukulele contains 4 strings. So it's really easy to learn.
Yeah, so does the bass guitar, like a real male.
Yeah, a bass guitar, but really short for people who can't think long things. I don't know.
People who can't think long things.
Yeah.
They're like 6 feet long, man.
Hey, Blobber, sing me a song.
Oh, yeah,
please.
Let's get this done. It's 10:15.
Yeah. So that's it, right, Scott?
That's it.
We've covered everything.
We're done.
It's 11:15.
All right, Blobber. See, you're gonna sing us out. Everyone, Justin will be back next week. You can send all your hate mail to warren@iamasmellyasshole.com. There's no show plugs or whatever. So thanks again to Augie from Carton Brewing. Thanks for sending the beers. They were amazing.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And yeah, it was a good time, man. Definitely, we should have Augie back.
Everybody call in with their ukulele songs next week.
Right. Yeah. So look at that. Blobber's already singing us out. So,
all right, perfect. That's great.
Well, you start talking.
Come, Blobber, sing it.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Take it easy. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the mighty lion sleeps in love. In the jungle, the fiery jungle, the lion sleeps in love. Oh, my, 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 my,